This week's episode of Barf will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The Shining Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
I am the greatest masked wrestler in the history of Lucha Libre, and you are watching the Shining Wizards. No job, amigo.
All right, if you're tuning in for Barf, you're shit-faced out of luck, because this is episode 777 of the Shining Wizards Podcast. Tonight at 7:10, we got the Dark Patriot himself, Dangerous Doug Gilbert. Plus, we go over TNA and how more things change, more they stay the same. And speaking of staying the same, we got to crown our new Wizards 2025 picks champion, 2026, something like that. I don't know. Also, we got Saturday night's main event preview, AEW homework, and so much more. So let's just get into it with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brando.
A double T.
Tony.
And some Kevin.
Wow, Tony, I'm surprised you didn't go five-time picks champion.
Because I think it's six, isn't it?
No, you did not win the first year.
Oh, we've only been doing this 6 years?
Yes, I purposely made sure to go through. Look, you're bigger than all of us now. Season's over. Five-time champion. Congratulations. Now, we played Fortnite this afternoon. Me, you, and Justin, and Vince, the guys from the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast. Vince rage quits. And then we had a conversation before the show started. Why do you care so much? It doesn't mean anything, right? But here you are, five-time picks champion, and you don't want to do picks anymore.
Because I'm hoping 1 year you actually listen to me, and if I keep winning every year, that will at least give me a one-up on everyone else. And someone would actually listen to me and just not do this anymore. When we first started doing picks, it was like we talked about it on the show. We discussed the matches. We kind of put our thoughts in and, you know, like we locked in our picks like a full like week before. But nowadays it just seems like, well, it's Saturday afternoon and they added 17 more matches and the cards changed and somebody got hurt and somebody fucked themselves over and somebody can't get in the country. And, you know, yeah.
I mean, AEW announces like 5-6 matches before the like right before the show starts, it feels like.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's like, what do we bring to the table? It's like, oh, Handsome Kevin went 10-1 this week. He won the picks, and here's your overall picks. And, you know, I mean, it's I guess it's an impetus to talk about the pay-per-view, but other than that, like, what purpose does it serve? Are people into our picks? Like, are people listening in? Like, hey, we got to hear Tony dominate another year.
I don't think so.
You only won by 3. That wasn't a domination.
Oh, come on. I've been ahead by 2 for like months now.
Yeah. fucking TNA.
I think it was the fucking pre-show. The first match you lost, I'm like, Brundo's done already. I won.
Yep. I picked TBA because I thought it was going to be the fucking hometown man. And it wasn't.
Yeah, there you go. True Prince of Pro. Mirroring what you just said, Double T. Impressive that Tony doesn't care and he continues to dominate. Because the minute I care is the year I fucking lose.
Go with what works.
That's a good call.
HK, you're getting ready to say something. What's your thoughts on
this? You know, I wasn't the caboose this year. I wasn't the caboose. So I'm happy with that. You know, I'm happy. I had a great show in the 10-1 at one pay-per-view. That was a great day for me. You know, I'm not against picks. I'm not against them, but I see what you're saying. That's for sure.
Now, you say you're not against picks, and I think I know why. HK ends the picks year hot, and then
someday you'll be dead.
Jesus.
What the fuck?
Rest in peace.
HK is on the board. He threw a shutout last year in the death pool. Beastmaster Rick Link, though, right? That was his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Sadly passed away this week, and he's up already.
I win 1-0, motherfucker. 1-0. I win. Woo!
You don't win, you're up.
He's always up.
You're on the board.
Up 1-0, motherfucker. Woo!
Well, you know what Diddy said? What comes up must go down.
That's what Diddy said?
Yeah.
Diddy or didn't he say that? I don't like that. I don't like that HK shows up dressed like John Moxley every week now. This is a little disturbing.
Fucking hell. You're about 150 episodes late.
These are things that I noticed, and now that the stress of picking pay-per-views is no longer on my shoulders.
Now, will you be assigning us punishment, Tony?
I don't know. Maybe, possibly. Okay. I think the punishment will be to make you all do picks again next year without me.
Well, I don't think that'll be such a bad thing.
No, yeah. It won't. It'll give me a chance to see what you guys can do without having to chase me every year.
Oh, this
guy. See how insanely inaccurate the picks get.
Now, look, I haven't had a chance, but I will go through the picks and see who did what, when, and where. You know, like if Tony dominated WWE, if HK dominated AEW, did we all eat shit on NXT and TNA?
Oh, we sure did.
Definitely TNA.
Who had the best, you know, who had the most perfect scores?
Well, probably Tony, because he won.
I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think there might have been a lot of instances where we went against the grain, and, you know, let's be fair. In NXT, Tony doesn't know who any of the women are, so I think he just picks the name because he thinks they're cool.
Yeah,
Tony sometimes. Just knows who Sable is, and that's about it.
No, I like Pizzeria. She's cool.
He likes Sunny. Right? You like Sunny?
Sunny days.
Yeah, of course
Tony.
I love Sunny. I hope she's doing okay.
Our guest is in the queue, and I would love to bring him in.
Speak so properly.
Talk
first.
To talk to the dangerous one himself, Mr. Doug Gilbert. Doug, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good. Hey, that really sounded like it was easy for you to say.
Oh, you have no idea, Doug. I am a
Doug, this is every week, man. Idiot.
Hey, I got y'all, fellas. Listen, there's a lot of things hard for me to say, and even after I say them, I think correct, people still can't understand me. So I know right where what you're saying.
Now, the good thing for me is I don't have to speak to read this book right here.
There you go. There you go. Listen, fellas, I appreciate y'all getting it. It's a cool book, man. It's a cool read. Have you started reading yours yet that I see you there with?
Yes, yeah, so we're on the East Coast. We're in New Jersey. We had shitty weather yesterday and Saturday. This was supposed to be here Saturday morning. Did not get here till yesterday afternoon. But I'm about 50 pages in.
Is that right? Cool. So you're at the wrestling in his blood, and the journey begins. You're just starting and everything. Man, I'm so proud of this book and everything. So proud that we got it out. And man, you know, it really means something to me. And you guys talk about all kinds and sorts of wrestling and entertainment and everything else I've heard. But I mean, man, you know what, if you think back and you think, you know, my brother passed away 30 years ago. And for people to still come to me and ask me, you know, they say, man, what relates? I mean, you know, they never got to meet my brother. And they said, how is over all this time, people still talk so good about your brother as far as him working and his booking and everything, but it's how he related and connected with people, I would say. And man, it's a cool thing when people still ask you about your brother and have so much respect for him this many years later.
Now, today's interview, Doug, is about this beautiful book, The Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert, Uncrowned King of Professional Wrestling, 30-year anniversary edition. You're no slouch in the wrestling business either. And I know we got short on time tonight, so we'll definitely have to come back and talk to you about your career. But cool. This book had a little bit of a snafu and it didn't come out till December. What can you talk about what kind of held up the process of getting this book out?
Well, what held it up was actually, and I don't blame anybody. I should have started on it quicker myself, which actually y'all guys are going to laugh. This book actually started like in 1999. I started, like, my brother passed away in February of 95 and everything. And in 99, I thought, because people was asking me so many different questions and I just jotted down a few things, but then I stopped because I realized it was still too soon for me at that point, just 4 years after my brother had passed away. But the one cool thing about this book, it goes back so far that in the book you can write about where I talked with Jerry Jarrett, which is no longer with us anymore, and different guys that I've got quotes from, what they told me that they had told my brother and everything. And I think that's what makes this book really cool. Also, you get to hear the backstories from the guys that are no longer with us now, that like from 99 when I started this. But like I said, it took me, if I started something else today, I guess it'd be another 25 years before I got it done, or 30 years. But anyway, no, like I said, man, it's cool. This goes through all of my brother's career as far as y'all guys know, and I think kind of historians about wrestling and stuff. Every territory that my brother went through, that he worked in, he booked, and everything, it goes through all that from, like I said, from when he was a kid starting to when he knew wrestling was in his blood, and that was like 6 or 7 years old, like kind of the same with me and everything. But man, it's just really cool to like I said, I'm sure y'all guys have seen or heard of the Dark Side of the Ring deal. They just done a deal with my brother on the Dark Side of the Ring one of the past episodes of this past year and everything. So I thought that was really cool, which they come to my home and sit for about 13 hours and ask me questions. And guys, I don't know about y'all, but y'all know in a TV show, it's an hour long. You know, it's you usually get 47 minutes and they get 13 minutes for commercials to pay the bills, right? Well, I thought, now how can you ask me 13 hours of questions? And I'm sure you won't put 1 minute in there, but it wound up, I was actually happy with it. I don't know if y'all guys saw it or whatever, but I thought it made good out of as far as what my brother done. Cause I've had people tell me that some things they didn't like that they'd done, but man, that's everything. You know what? I bet y'all guys, I mean, there's five of us on here and we might, there might be something that one of us don't like, but I told somebody that if it's my brother and I knew Eddie better than anybody did, traveled with him, was best friends and everything. And if I thought something was good at the end of the day, I don't think anybody else could have not thought. Now they might not like I said, we all have different opinions on things, but my brother was a great worker. He's a great booker and everything. And like us guys are sitting on here right now. Now I'm sure there's something y'all guys can think you might rather be doing, but listen, we're on a podcast right now, reliving what I've done my whole life that I made a good living at and enjoyed, traveled around the world, and we're getting to talk about it on here. So there's not nothing really too bad to me that, you know what I'm saying, guys?
Of course, yeah. And look, I think that's the biggest complaint with all the Dark Side of the Rings is they pick these polarizing topics and these polarizing figures like your brother Eddie Gilbert, and they only give us 47 minutes. And you're like, what the fuck? There's so much more I want. Is there something that you wish they had focused on a little bit more with the show?
Well, yeah, you can always say that because listen, fellas, if you start at, say, where my brother started booking, I mean, you know, like for Watts in Mid-South and it turned into UWF, Then he booked in WCW. Then he left WCW. He went to Global. He booked in Global. Then he left Global, working in Global and booking. He worked everywhere that he booked. Then he left there and he went to Continental Wrestling Federation, booked there, worked there also. Then at the office one day, I went in, Eddie didn't go anywhere. He came in a little later, but I checked the answer machine and Dusty Rhodes had called and asked him to come back to WCW and help him book again. So then what'd he do? He wound up a couple months later, he left Continental Wrestling Federation, went back to WCW, booked there again. And which I heard a guy ask Eddie a question one day, said, well, man, was you not ready? Was you just not scared about burning a bridge? And Eddie said, well, I don't guess burning a bridge is a good thing to do, but always remember this, man. And the guy said, what's that? He said, always work hard and always draw money, and bookers and owners will always bring you back. So that's kind of a good logic, a good philosophy. But now I ain't telling everybody to do that, because now these days it might be totally different. But anyway, Eddie had his own ways, but he always worked hard, and his mind was a decade ahead of everybody else's during those days. I mean, if you look at angles and stuff, but with you asking me that question about is there something that I would wish would have been focused on more, you can go to all of those territories. And I mean, just like you said, each territory could have been a 47-minute clip. You know what I'm saying? Because and Eddie had great talent and in those days, and I'm not knocking the talent today, but in those days, you had the guys that you couldn't have got in the business if you couldn't work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and bless your heart, they weren't doing 100 flips. I mean, and I'm not knocking 100 flips. A flip here and there is a good thing if it's needed, but I mean, 100 flips. But what I'm talking about in the days, you know, like Eddie had the Freebirds, he had DiBiase for Watts, he had all those guys that could work and everything. Then when he was in Continental, he had a bunch of guys and all the different territories in Global, he had like Lightning Kid, which is X-Pac, and he had Jerry Lynn, and he had all different guys that my brother could use and knew how to use. I mean, when two guys that y'all guys will know, Stevie Ray and Booker T, I remember them coming to the Global Dome, which was a sportatorium, and walking in the room with Eddie, and Eddie told him to come, but he had never seen him before, but people had told him about him, and he come in, and Eddie said, guys, what do y'all work as? And they said, I think Booker T told him he worked as G.I. Bro. And Eddie said, he was looking down writing, like writing out of TV, and he said, G.I. what? And he said, G.I. Bro. Well, that just G.I. Bro didn't catch Eddie as a money, you know, as a money. He said, well, what do you wear? He said, camouflage, and paint my face camouflage. And Eddie, he was like, he had a pen here, and he was writing like the TV out, and he looked at him, he said, well, I've got you on a match. He said, but how about we call y'all, don't paint yourself, and do you have anything other than camouflage to wear? And they said, yeah. And he said, well, how about we call y'all, we'll start next week calling y'all the Ebony Experience. But that was just from, like, them being in the room with Eddie for 5 minutes. Not saying that was the greatest name in the world, because later on one time Eddie told me, he said, Doug, you was in there when I come up with this Ebony Experience name, right? And I said, yeah. I said, I thought it was good. Why? He said, I don't know what I was thinking that night. So I guess what he was telling me, he didn't think it was the best. So, but I mean, they went by that for a good while. And me, I don't see as anything was wrong with it, but I guess in his logic, in his mind, he thought he could come up with something better, but just off the cuff for 5 minutes, guys, you know, it'd be like us five sitting in the room, writing the TV out, and somebody walked in the room and all of us said, hey, what can we call this guy or something? Just something for TV here. Give me a name. And, you know, y'all four, if I said that point, y'all four said, tell me, each one of you, give me a name. You know, it'd be like just throwing a name. And that's just, you know, you ain't got a week or 2 weeks to think about it. Just that's right then. And that's where my brother was a real good thinker and everything. But now, guys, like I said, I appreciate y'all letting me plug the book and everything. I appreciate y'all letting me come on here. And like I said, I'd love to come back on here some other time and talk about a little bit of my career. But like I said, this book is, it's like got 25 chapters in it, and it goes through all the territories. It goes from when my brother was a kid, like I said, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, the Uncrowned King of Professional Wrestling, 30-year anniversary edition. And it is at Amazon, and we all know how to go to Amazon and buy things and everything, but that's right where it is. And man, if you want to get to me, if there's anything as far as places that you got conventions or signings or anything, You can get to me by realdouggilbert@gmail.com, or you can go to, actually, after everybody gets through listening to y'all's podcast, how about try out the second best one you might like, Dangerous Conversations with Dangerous Doug Gilbert and Wildfire Tommy Rich. Now, that's, we do some pretty cool stuff. We might want to have one of y'all in there and talk to us. But listen, we ain't hardly quite as serious as y'all are. We try to do a whole lot of laughing and everything. But what we do is tell stories, and we let people send questions in right then. And you should hear Tommy answer some of the questions. You're talking about, which y'all probably, have y'all had Tommy on here before? Or maybe not?
Yeah, no, Tommy was on for one of my birthday shows years ago.
Is that right? Well, that's cool. I don't know if y'all read my shirt here, but it says Memphis Mafia on it, and that's the 26th, Tour 26 is this year, and me and Tommy are the last two of the Mafia left, which, you know, the original Memphis Mafia, my brother started. It was my brother and myself, Tommy Wildfire, Rich, Nature Boy, Buddy Landell, and Grandmaster Sexy, Too Sexy, Brian Christopher. So that, now that was five characters together and everything. Knock on wood, me and Tommy are still going and beating the streets. So, man, if anybody needs myself or Wildfire, like I said, you can give us a shout at our podcast. Like I said, that's Dangerous Conversations. But, man, we'd appreciate, like I said, I appreciate y'all letting me be on here with y'all. And is there anything else? What about, did y'all guys hear anything about the AEW show at the I call it the ECW Arena. What do they call it now? The 2300 Arena. Yeah. Man, you know what? That was a cool deal that we went to. Tony Khan flew myself and Tommy Rich up there, and Sting and Jeff Jarrett and everything. He did like a tribute to my brother. Man, you're talking about what a cool deal that was. I don't know if y'all heard anything about that or even knew anything about it, but man, I thought that was a really respectful thing that he done. And it was a really neat night up there.
I think it was really nice that you said, we're really serious about this, Doug. We're just being respectful for you. When we're done with you, we're going to talk probably a lot about shitting our pants. If you should shit while your wife in the shower in the same bathroom. We're not very serious. We're getting, you know, we're short on time today. We want to plug the book and get the book over for you. But man, we kind of go off the rails. We're just a couple dudes bullshitting, talking about wrestling.
Well, hey, listen, well, that sounds really cool. Then, well, y'all would like to have me back on here sometime, because y'all know all the stuff that I've said before. And anyway, because now me and y'all sound a lot closer together then, because I get a lot of questions, a lot of these calling questions to our podcast is, Doug, I can't believe you would have said that. Why would you have said that? Well, I mean, most of the times when I say things, because that's what I'm thinking. So to me, it sounds like y'all guys are all kind of the same way. But now, sometimes the way I'm thinking, maybe I shouldn't say what I say, but a lot of times I'm wide open too. So I'll say a lot of things, and y'all have probably read some of them or heard some of them on some promos and everything. But anyway, man, I've been very fortunate. Like I said, my dad and my brother trained me and everything. I've been very fortunate and everything. Like I said, there's been some good things that happened. Well, all through my career, but like I said, what is cool stuff with my brother, man, I've got so many questions and so many different things have been wrote to me on social media and emails and stuff about my brother. And I finally decided I was going to actually get this book done, even though it took me the rest of my life, but I finally got it done and everything. And I just want to give everybody a chance to see, because like I said, man, it's something special to you. And man, I hope none of y'all guys ever lose a brother or parent, anything and everything. But it's something to go through. And then, but like I said, if you go 30 years after that and people are still asking you questions, man, it's a special thing to me that they are asking, because that shows me how much Eddie did mean to a lot of people.
He definitely left his fingerprints on the wrestling business. Doug, I know we're short on time tonight, so we're going to let you go. But again, hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert. Just Google in Amazon, just throw Eddie Gilbert's name and the book comes right up. It's like 200 pages. It's a super easy read. I like the way it's written, because there's not like all this extra nonsense. It gets right into it. This is where he was. This is who he worked with. And I'm a historian like that. I like reading stuff like that. So it's super easy for me to read. I can't speak, but I read 50 pages in less than a day. So come on.
I was going to say, super easy for you to read, not say.
I'm not reading this on audio.
That's what I was going to say. I'm glad you kind of sound like I do, because people would be saying, Doug, how did you write a book when you can't probably read? And I laugh at people that have said stuff. They said, Doug, there's a lot of things we thought we would see your name involved in, but as far as being an author and writing a book, that was not one of them. And I said, well, other than writing this book and maybe a book they've talked about me writing, one on the Memphis Mafia, which was all us five guys I told you about, or one on myself, I would have never thought anything about writing a book. But man, like I said, I appreciate you guys letting me be on here. And like I said, if there's anybody that's got any conventions coming up or anything that they'd like to have myself there, like I said, I have cases of these books with me and pictures of myself and my brother and everything. But listen, thank y'all guys for letting me be on here. And when y'all have another minute and aren't real busy, y'all get me back on and we'll talk a little bit about my career.
100%.
I appreciate it. Doug, who you rooting for tonight?
Man, I'm going to go probably against all of y'all, but I think Miami's actually got a shot. In the fourth quarter, if it's close, I say Miami will win, but everybody else says Indiana. So what do you got? Who are you guys saying? Indiana? All four of you?
I'm siding with you, Doug.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
I'm going Indiana.
Here's the only thing, guys. Miami's defensive line and offensive line, I will always, since I was a kid, been taught if you build from inside out. But here's the thing. There's like no weak points on Indiana's team, but I believe as far as the line, I think Miami's got the line. But I mean, heck, guys, I don't know. It's a 7.5-point spread. So if y'all guys are good, are y'all good at betting? Y'all said y'all talk about anything?
No.
So we're not good at betting. Well, listen, Indiana will probably win, but I'm not going to go all in. I want to say Miami. So on the next time y'all have a little opening, you want to talk, y'all guys get a hold of me and I'll come back on here and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Hey, Doug, what'd you say the spread was? 7 or 7.5?
7.5 Indiana.
Yeah, I think you got to go Miami at that point.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I thought. But then again, they're saying it could be a blowout. So
I don't think that's going to happen.
Who knows, guys? But listen, hey, thanks for letting me plug my book and everything. And like I said, everybody that has seen, I think the Dark Side deal is coming back on. They play it back about every week or two, but I thought it was pretty cool. And I thought they put my, I mean, you know, a lot of people tell me that they knock a lot of people's stuff, but man, I'm going to be honest. Like I said, if I can say I thought it was okay, I don't think anybody else can't say it was. But anything, one other thing I want to plug before we get off here, in this book, we've got a chapter on where myself and my brother run over Jerry Lawler in the car. And it says, let's see, I think you killed him. You're talking about a good chapter. You haven't got to that one yet. If you're just 50 pages in, wait till you get to that one, because that is actually my words. I think you killed him. My brother said, Doug, what do you think? As I'm looking behind the car and he's done come through the windshield and glasses all over us, and he's flying around like a helicopter when he flew out of the windshield over the top and he hits the asphalt and just stops. My brother says, Doug, how you think he is? And I said, I think he might have killed him. And everything, but guys, like I said, and this is something y'all's guys can go to on YouTube and just pull it up real quick, because it's there and you can see it really good. And man, you'll see. I mean, and y'all guys got to realize this is not, you know, we didn't have stuntmen or nothing in these days when we was doing all of our stuff. We didn't have somebody else go out there and try this out. We just got in the car. I pulled the car around the building when my brother said slide over, and when he jumped in and I slid over, when we went to hit him, you know, in all reality, you would have thought we'd have been going like 10 or 15 miles an hour, right? Well, we hit him about 30. Well, you know, you don't hit somebody about 30 miles an hour. Just the lucky part was he got his legs up enough, you know, because if it hit his legs, it broke his legs hitting somebody 30 miles an hour. But he got his legs up, but what he thought, he was going to slide off the side of the car. But we was going so fast, he slung him into the windshield. When he come in the windshield, he come all the way through the windshield. So it knocked the windshield into mine and my brother's face. And then he flew out of the top and went like a helicopter round and round and hit the ground. But that's a chapter you got to get to. But listen, guys, thanks. Y'all have a great night. And y'all give me a shout back. We'll talk a little bit about my career sometime.
We will, Doug. We'll talk to you, my friend. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, go Kings. Thanks, guys. We'll see you, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug. Man, 30 miles an hour is crazy. Remember I got hit by that car looking at that guy's cock? And that wasn't even fast.
I imagine Jerry Lawler would have preferred 15 as well.
Holy shit, dude. I was gonna pivot and say, speaking of 30 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
No, Doug's good people. Doug's good.
Dangerous Doug Gilbert again. Throw Eddie Gilbert in the Amazon. The book comes right up. It's a really easy read, so check it out. And then his podcast on Twitter at Gilbert Rich Pod. Tommy Rich, he tells some fucking wild stories. I'll tell you that right now.
He does.
He's wildfire. He has to.
Hey, you know I was in them full-blooded Italians. My favorite was they were cutting a promo. Somebody was going to wrestle. Oh, I think they were wrestling Sabu and Van Damme. And he's going, and that's Jean-Claude Van Damme. And little Guido's going, no, 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 Rob Van Damme, Rob Van Damme.
Fucking wildfire, Tommy Rich. Oh, all right.
You okay?
I'm groovy. I'm groovy. That was super easy interview. Doug Gilbert in and out. I like that. He could have talked all night. Yep. He would have Scotty Riggs the shit out of us.
No, come on now.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on now. Go when you get, you know, during we're pulling some old episodes from the past. Just go look at the runtime on that Scotty Riggs interview. I bet you that's like a 3-hour show.
All right, challenge accepted. Do you remember what episode it was?
I don't.
All right. I'll look this up.
I guess we didn't really get into it because we jumped right into picks and the Deadpool. You guys doing okay?
Oh, wait. AI overview. Scotty Riggs was a guest on the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast, appearing in their episode 48, where the former WCW star discussed his career training with DDP and Jake the Snake, his time in the American Males, and his recent personal struggles and recovery, including dental work with DDP's help, showcasing his positive journey back to wrestling-related work with AEW. What?
You can't trust the
episode 48 AEW. Google's... Yeah.
Yeah, you can't,
don't match up.
I mean, AEW makes its way into a lot of different promotions these days. Am I wrong?
You are not.
Scotty Flocking Riggs was episode 48. And the runtime was, oh God, it's so large. 2 hours, 25 minutes, 44 seconds.
Well, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, but we probably talked to him for like an hour and a half.
It might have been longer than that. It might have been one of those episodes where we had like 20 other things planned. And then by the time Scotty like left, it was like, all right, see you later. We did that a lot back in the day.
Back in the day.
I mean, Ron Reese, we did it too. So, you know, You get a good guest, they get rolling. Why stop?
It's all those Flock guys, really.
Yeah, good point.
How you guys doing, though? Everything's good this week? Everyone's doing okay?
I mean, I had the day off of work, if that's what you're asking. So, you know, a little relaxed today. Got an extra workout in with the kid. Played a little Fortnite with Double T. Did a little salting and a little leftover shoveling out front. Mm-hmm. It has gotten significantly colder over here in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Not as cold as Minnesota.
Oh, well. Old fucking handjob Magoo above you over there. He's been crying for months. I don't want to see grass in Minnesota. It's supposed to be snow and ice and cold. And then today he's like, God damn, I wasn't expecting it to be this fucking cold in Minnesota.
Whoa. Take it easy, Limoncello.
Plenty of ice out there, Tony. So,
motherfucker, we went from 40s and rain last week to negative 30 today, right? That's
negative 10. Let's come on.
Hey, negative 30.
No, if you it feels like it's not what it is feels, outside, though.
Feels like it's what it feels like. It's what it
I mean,
feels
my dick
like.
Feels hard, you know?
Yeah, quarter inch, I get it, but it's what it feels like. And if it feels like negative 30, if they feel like tits, that's what they are.
It feels. La, pile driver. Sorry, high energy talk earlier.
Just wasn't expecting it, man. It jumped quick.
It was like in the 50s here, I think Saturday and Sunday, and the next thing you know, it just plummeted here as well. I think we're hitting teens tomorrow morning, or maybe Wednesday.
Oof. Jerry Lawler.
And there
Jesus. Fucking low hanging fruit, you douche nozzles.
Rubbed to it. Yeah, we're in some kind of what are we in? We're in we got the what do they call it? Code blue out here? We're in code blue, Tony.
Oh, when you got to check on the elderly and make sure their fucking heat's working and shit.
Yeah, out by me, Morrison, Sussex County.
No, because you guys are a little more out in the woods and a little more like up in the mountains too. So
yeah, it's chilly. It's when it gets really cold, HK. And yeah. They try and like give you know, check on the old people so they don't freeze to death. The homeless, keep your dog, get your animals inside.
Huh.
The whole thing.
Never heard of a cold blue, and we get much colder than you do.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah.
Well, here you go. In case you're wondering, we're going to hit 10 on Wednesday morning. This weekend, Saturday, 6. Sunday, 9.
Seven.
Monday, 8. No, not 6, 7, you goose. Figured you would have ran with 69. But yeah, and it's supposed to snow this weekend terribly.
Really?
Yep. Oh, might boy. Be off again next Monday.
Look at that.
I haven't even looked that far ahead.
See, MB, if the feels like is negative 30, then it's negative 30. MB knows who he's talking about.
All right, we're going to go to Brundo now with the
draft. He blew up MB's comment.
What do you want me to say? I'm like, I don't know. The guy? It's like the fucking, the what are we doing? The weather's on the 7s, the traffic's on the 3s. What are we traffic's doing?
You guys want local news? Mikey Sherrill's being inducted as the next governor of New Jersey tomorrow in Newark, which is why I'm staying home. I don't know. And apparently they're having her ball at the American Dream Mall, Brundo. So if you want to hit the mall tomorrow afternoon.
Nah, I think I'm good.
Not at the Hart Ballroom?
Ooh.
Oh, could you imagine that? An XPW quinceañera inaugural ball? I got two balls you can inaugurate right here. Am I right?
And a bris? No, you really got a party.
Fuck yeah. A quarter-inch bris. That's what I'm talking about.
I think we closed the XPW. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
I thought they were promoting something like the XPW school recently. Somebody
posted XPW school?
Yeah, didn't one of you guys post it in the fucking Discord or something? Or in the texts?
No.
Somebody definitely did.
What kind of sideways fuck goes to an XPW school?
It's a great, great question.
I don't know, but if you Google XPW school, one of the first hits is ECPW school.
Your location is on, so.
Well, there you go.
Jesus, criminy. So much wrestling this week. Like, I was home Saturday night, and I was trying to play catch-up on JCW, but there was a GCW show. There was the Genesis pay-per-view. There was Limitless Wrestling, AAA on Fox, Collision. It's a lot. I don't know how people fucking keep track of all this shit.
Well, I start by not watching AEW. That helps.
Okay. Okay, so that's one show off the table.
And then I watch JCW, so that, you know, is entertaining. I watched a little bit of Raw today until the kid goes, I want to watch videos about sweaty men working out, so I stopped watching.
I've been to your house. You have more than one TV. Tell the Lego head to go elsewhere. You know you're doing show prep for once in a blue moon and it's not on fucking Facebook.
Can you stream Raw on Facebook?
Facebook, the key to the future, right, Tony?
Hey, man, five-time pick champions. I got to get my research done somewhere.
I'm pick champion.
See, if we stopped doing picks, maybe I wouldn't do so much wrestling research on Facebook.
No, because we still do the show.
I mean, Brundo's notes are very helpful.
For picks?
What? You, a couple weeks ago, you didn't even know the poor kid did notes. Now they're helpful to you?
Poor kid. He's a grown man with a child of his own. He's
I'm older than you.
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
You're older than me?
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it easy, really? Barf.
Yeah, by, I think like 2 months, but, you know.
Oh, 2 months.
No, yeah. You're born in July. My birthday's in November.
3 months. 4 months? I don't know.
Yeah, so still, he's the kid?
So clear, I can't speak. Brundo can't do math. HK Tony, you're up. What are you not good at?
Apparently researching wrestling.
Apparently not. You're the 5-time pick champion.
I can't hang shelves.
Is it because you don't have the tools to do it or you can't reach the height to put the
I can't up? Fucking do it. Jable comes over and hangs them, or my wife. My wife hangs a lot of shelves.
My wife.
Jesus.
Can't do it.
Has she punched you in the nuts lately?
No, man, this is a week of no nut punches. I like part of me felt like the door was gonna open there.
Is that a kink thing? And whose kink is it? Yours or hers?
No, not a kink thing. Like, she just likes to destroy a nut every now and again, I suppose. Oh yeah,
it would be awesome if she came in and just like punched you right on the show.
I thought it was gonna happen. I said I'm free like, this week. No, and then I thought I heard the door pop. So
if she's into punching nuts, does this mean like when you guys go to Walmart, she's just like socking off on random dudes?
No, she's not socking off on random dudes. Just fucking aisle like, to aisle.
She's walking. Kapow!
With like Steven Seagal dancing in the aisle.
Hey, is this the aisle where there's chips? She's checking bags. She's not even working checkout.
Bring them up.
Hey, where was that product made? Bangkok? Black.
You got any coupons? I heard they're half off this week.
Now, let me ask you guys something. Are you done?
Yeah, oh, please do.
I was letting it breathe. I wasn't, you know, I got to lay
down. Yeah, come on, Tommy Rich. What do you got?
Tommy Rich.
Yeah. Well, you got some funny stories?
TNA on AMC, right? Woof. Why? How many fucking times are they going to do this to us? Where they're like, it's a new TNA. And we're all like, yeah, let's go. And then it's as an old segment on the show. What was it? Wolf TNA?
Meh TNA. Meh. It's Anthem spelled backward.
Meh. What? I mean, I got a couple issues. One,
I got a lot of
I haven't
issues.
Even seen the show yet because I can't find a fucking replay anywhere and I'm not paying for fucking Impact Plus again.
Well, just I know get somebody HK's who is. Password, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could figure out how to log in, you're more than welcome to, Double T. While you're in there, maybe you can figure out how to fucking cancel the motherfucker. And the TNA on AMC show is not streaming on that. You have to get AMC Plus or AMC, whatever. They have a fucking subscription gimmick that you have to do to get that.
I'm out. Like, I wasn't so, home Thursday night, and I wasn't going to, you know...
Is TNA doing enough business where they can afford to like have their product?
No.
Fucking A, dude.
I love that I have Molly's phone number in my phone.
For those of you listening, HK just got his fucking bag checked.
You can thank me. Just text Molly. Can we make it a bit where you run in and punch HK in the nuts every Monday? Well, LOL, starting now, I'm not always home on Mondays, but I do my best.
And if she doesn't feel like punching you in the balls, a smack in the face with a burrito from Rancho Loco will suffice too.
Golly.
You really got to watch the show, people. It's great if you listen, but you really got to watch. Between the Steve Kern interview and what just happened there, come on, this is gold.
Fuck it! You should have saw the look of happiness in her face when she came door open, running in, just Jesus!
It looked like the fucking Black Scorpion, like just like one big blur. Fucking Al loved it. Fucking Will Mercier loved it. Oh man, this could be the new thing.
What's that meant? Like every week.
She says she's not home every Monday, so we'll play it by ear. It's right. The ball is now in her court. She knows when we do the show. The
ball's in her hand, bro.
I'm gonna have to text Ree.
I mean, oh my god, she fucking bring home a quail or a fish and fucking slap the shit out of her.
She is home tonight, but she's usually not home on Mondays.
Oh, I would love to see just a halibut swing through the fucking court of the screen.
No, she will not waste a catch and kill on me. I'll tell you that right now.
You got mommy's number? Maybe she could fucking bring some of them things that are growing in the toilet upstairs to show Matt.
It'll be
not even to hit him, just to annoy him with questions.
Take a big rubber dick out of the clitter box and smack him.
Oh, a big rubber dick out of the clitter box. I don't know if that would be a legal title, but that is definitely high up there for consideration.
Join the Patreon. You'll hear that in a couple of months. Write that down.
Anyway, so yeah. But HK's right, man. It's like you got to download another. Part of me wants to go back to simpler times when I think I would rather just tape these things on a VCR than have to sign up to all these fucking services to watch this shit.
Yep.
You got to sign into Peacock Saturday if you want Saturday night's main event. You got to sign into Netflix if you want to watch Raw. You got to watch HBO Max if you don't watch it live and your cable service doesn't have on demand to watch AEW. You got to watch fucking AAA on YouTube. It's like, fuck, man. It's supposed to be easier.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's more difficult. You just got to have all the things.
It was just nicer when it was all like in one spot, right, HK? Like when we had the WWE Network and it was all there.
Yes. No QR codes. I'm with you, Double T. I'm with you.
Right? You want to watch WCW? Now you got to go to YouTube and the vault.
I don't want to go to YouTube and the vault. I want to go to the network. I'm 100% in agreement with you, Double T. 100%.
And the fucking, and you, look, man, I think it's great that it's free and you can watch it on YouTube, but the fucking commercials, right? When I watch it downstairs on my TV, I got YouTube app, so I can just pick up the remote and hit the skip button. But if I stream it up here in the bedroom, I can't skip. By the time I find my way back into the app on my phone to find a skip button, the commercial's already fucking over. I just leave it on the screen. That sucks. Yeah. Everything sucks.
Yeah.
But the show is good, right?
What, TNA? Oh,
Brundo, that's like a John Stockton pass to you from Tony.
Boom. I watched it and it was fucking trash the whole way through.
See, this is why Marky D comes in great, because he fucking just watches this shit and comments over it for like 15 minutes. It's so fucking good. Go ahead. Yeah.
2 hours, three fucking matches, everything. Like everything TNA about this fucking show could happen. They open it with AJ Styles, who doesn't work for TNA. Don't open it with a guy who works for your company and you'll get to see every week. Nope, let's get this fucking guy on TV. And I don't know, just the fucking women's tag match was trash. They have that fucking Mr. Elegance out there now, who looks like a fucking Timu Griff Garrison. Who Griff Garrison looks like.
I was gonna say, who the fuck is Drift Garrison?
Did you say Drift Garrison?
That's what I thought I heard was Drift Garrison.
I don't know.
Griff. I can't fucking talk.
I think your balls affected your hearing.
Probably did.
It was just like no fucking wrestling. They bring out Dixie Carter. What do you think the fans are going to boo Dixie Carter?
Yeah, but still, it was kind of neat to see her, but she literally just came out and then went to the back anyway.
Well,
and on top of that,
Bully Ray first.
Well, AJ is in the back and he runs into Kazarian. He's like, I want that belt. And then Kazarian fucking lost anyway. So what are we doing?
They couldn't mention Claire Lynch. At least do something positive.
I heard that woman died, didn't she?
She did. Yeah. That's right.
You spent so much time building it up, right? One of the best parts of your roster, you let him go work WWE house shows overseas. Your X Division champion, you said, you know what? Go. We don't need you for this big fucking debut on AMC right before this big pay-per-view that you're also not going to be on. Go.
And was anybody buying the visa issues fucking excuse?
Who else wasn't there? Danny Luna, apparently. I think she's from Canada. She
Steve
wasn't
Macklin
there.
Macklin wasn't there.
Pizzeria was
Macklin,
there.
They said, was hurt.
Wasn't Pizzeria and what's her nuts' his corner for the women's title?
It was Pizzeria.
Zaria.
Zaria?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She came out to challenge.
Real American. She did one of these.
She ended up challenging Xia Li for the title at Genesis.
Right. Because what? Jody Threat?
Jody
was supposed
to. I think it was the one I just mentioned.
Danny Luna?
Danny Luna was supposed to wrestle her and she didn't.
Doesn't matter. It's
like the like consensus across the board, like it was a horrendous debut show.
So you think this
so much filler? Sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Do you think this was all WWE fingerprints on the thing, or do you think this was like TNA not knowing what to do?
I think it's both.
Do you remember when TNA decided to run on Monday night against?
I sure do.
Sure, should do.
And it just was like all ex WWE talent that they put on screen, like bringing Sonya Deville out to be a part of whatever. Like, and also, like, it's 2026. Can we get rid of the authority figures, please?
Nope.
Now we just need to. You has like five of them. What do you mean get rid of them?
We don't need Santino Marella now. This what are we called? Daria Ray? She's now an authority figure too. How many authority figures does TNA have to have? Why do we have to have a Raw general manager and a SmackDown general manager? Like,
that makes sense though.
But it's fucking stupid. Like, Becky Lynch is such a menace and a bitch to Adam Pearce, but she still gets IC title shot after IC title shot. None of it makes sense. It's 2026. You can't find a more creative way to tell a story than to have an authority figure. Haven't we beat the fucking authority figure storyline to death?
Apparently not. All the fucking promotions are running them these days.
And only one of them is doing a halfway decent job, in my opinion, and I think that's JCW. I like old Farty McFarterson.
Because, you can't even consider JCW a promotion like you would for TNA or WWE or AEW. You can't. It's an entity in and of itself, onto itself. Like, the zombies are great, the clowns are great, Willie Mack and fucking Too Tough Tony, like, all that shit's great. Within that microcosm of JCW, if they were to bring any of that shit up to somewhere else, it just would not be the same. It would not work anywhere else.
It's like where Lucha Underground worked.
Yeah, where it is right now, that's where it belongs, and that's where it stays, and that's where it will thrive and grow. But anywhere else?
I say give them a show on AMC. It can't be worse than this fucking hunk of shit they put on Thursday night.
Yeah, but I would not put this shit on like fucking Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock or you know what I'm saying? I would not do that to JCW.
You would watch JCW before you'd watch AEW.
I already am. But JCW being on YouTube is absolutely fine with me. Like,
they just like they brought back like Cora Jade is back. Like, she doesn't move the needle.
None of them do. Who cares? The show had to survive on its merits. I thought you were going to mention when TNA went up against WWE on Monday nights. That was when Hogan and Bischoff were there. That was the big move to try to make it. And they had brought back like the four-sided ring or they were going to whatever. When they fucking put all the cruiserweights, the X Division guys in that cage, the fucking bird cage, and the fucking winner had to climb out and poor fucking Homicide was exhausted by the time he got to the top and he couldn't figure out how to get out of the fucking thing. And this was your opening match of the show.
What about the Nasties couldn't get in the building? Remember that? Fucking Hall and Waltman try. Band's back together. Not this time.
Fucking Val Venus showing up. The fucking bisexual guy, Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, but at least
hunk of shit that was.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd put that debut over this. This was more like a fucking who's that of WWE superstars.
But like, how many times are we gonna fall for this?
Every single fucking time.
Really?
Because we're wrestling fans and that's what we do.
Same. Yeah.
This is what we do. We want the products to be good. We want to tune in. We want to be entertained, which is why I can't watch AEW anymore. Thankfully, Tony Khan has stopped with his fucking weekly announcements that are going to change the wrestling business.
That's too bad.
I don't know who convinced them to drop that, but that guy should have gotten a fucking raise.
Probably Dixie fucking Carter. She's like, hey, remember when I was doing that every week? Didn't work out.
This fucking Carlos Silva guy, he's just a cuck. He loves just fucking... He loves. Hey, what do you want, WWE? You want to take one of the
Wait, is Carlos Silva the president? Who's the president guy?
Yeah,
that's him.
The guy that comes out with the baseball cap and everything.
Yeah, and that's the dumb glasses.
What a fucking chooch.
Puts on the belt.
You want NXT superstar Joe Henry to beat Moose and Cedric Alexander in our ring on our pay-per-view? No problem.
I wish I would have taken that pick back. I really was fucking pushing hard to take Joe Henry. I'm like, they can't do this. They have to have a TNA guy go over, right? Like, they have to, right?
You got anyone in NXT that's not doing anything that you want him to win an important title on our show? Bring him over. Let's do something with him. An asshole. And then I heard the pay-per-view was good. I didn't see it. I'm not paying for it. That's not happening.
We learned that lesson earlier last year.
Yeah, I tried finding a gimmick too. No, the gimmicks are kind of drying up lately. I don't know what's going on. Excuse me.
Yeah, Santana's the world champion. I think that's great for TNA. I just don't have any faith in TNA to do anything good with them.
No, Nicky Nemeth still has his briefcase. His brother's beating up women, so, you know.
Yeah, I wish I had that. I don't wish I had that picked out. I for sure thought that lady was going to beat him.
Yeah, you can't keep kicking a fucking woman in the face and not fucking lose that match. You can't. Even if you had to have 10 guys run in to fucking help her, she's got to win that match. Nope.
Nah.
What's the point of having a woman go against a man if you're just going to completely bury the woman? How does that make anybody look good? It doesn't. She has to win. Like, you can't put her in that position and not have her win a blow off. You can't.
I think he won by cheating.
Yeah, he did.
But he shouldn't have fucking won.
But that's like a chicken shit heel thing. Like, he can't beat a woman, so he has to cheat to beat her. I don't know. It's TNA. I can't explain. Like, I don't know what the next step in this feud is.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is this going to continue on? Like, why are we doing this? Get rid of this fucking feud. They could have blew it off. His fucking brother, Ryan, fucking looks like a douche for a couple of weeks, brushes it off, and they both move on, and that's it. That's
it. A couple of weeks. Has he ever not looked like a douche?
Well, no, but I mean, like, just move on from this, you know? Like, ha ha, you lost to a bitch, and that's it, you know? By the way, HK, the word I was looking for last week was slabs.
Slabs. I got slabs. You. Gotcha.
Battle axes have slabs.
Slabs and battle axes.
Yeah. It looked like a bright spot. It looked like Vicious Vicky, past guest of the show. She was on the pre-show. She was in a match, so maybe she's heading to TNA. That's great for her.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Fucking awesome.
Rooting for that.
On the other side, the Righteous were brought in to lose, so there's that. Like, don't fucking understand why nobody ever has these guys like do anything. They just fucking lose over and over again.
They're in a weird spot though too, because the Hardys are like still pretty hot, you know.
Sure, but where you're bringing in this new tag team, you're feuding with the Hardys. Where's the money? It's in the Chase. The Righteous beat them. Now the Hardys can chase the Righteous. Like, that's an interesting feud. Could you imagine the Hardy complex stuff with the Righteous and Vincent and Dutch and Jeff and Matt and the fucking Pool and the Gardner? That'd be super duper entertaining.
Do they still do that stuff?
Sure, why not?
I think they did recently, yeah.
Why can't they still get there?
They can, but I just want my guys to be tag team champions.
Yes.
They might be. They could still get there. Just because one match, right, doesn't mean they're not going to get there. There's still possibility. There's endless options and opportunities for shit to happen.
Yeah, it's like the Olive Garden. Endless possibilities.
Yeah, you got possibilities. I like pasta. Yeah, take some breadsticks and shove them up your ass.
Yeah, one at a time. Long ways, like Goldberg.
Yeah, dip my nuts in marinara sauce.
Now, wouldn't you want to do the breadstick sideways? Wouldn't that hurt more?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, not long ways. Corn sideways too, in the asshole.
Yeah, no, corn. Well, yeah, in the ass, but
right. Yeah. But if you eat it like that, then you're like,
You could single throw a breadstick.
Sounds like you have a. You've done that before. Challenge.
Yeah. Write it down, Brenda. Single throw to breadstick. Doug Gilbert called us serious.
That really fucking made me chuckle.
We should have just told him some of the names of the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, if you shut up for a second, we'll ask you if you shit.
Oh! I would love to have him and Tommy Rich on the show at the same time. I think
we could all walk away for 2 hours?
Yes!
Back here if you need me.
Exactly.
What if we get Doug and Tommy Rich on the show, and then we book a guest and we tell them Doug and Tommy Rich are the Shining Wizards, and none of us do the show?
Well, one of us would have to be here to fucking get everybody in the room.
Oh, I guess, yeah, but we don't have to be on screen.
Oh. Sounds like a job for Brundlefly.
What does Prince of Pro say? He says, I don't get how anyone was hyped for TNA after they took a month off after Bound for Glory and took the title off of Santana just to put it back on him because they had nothing else for the AMC debut.
That's fucking fair.
Maybe yeah. That's why they did it. Maybe that's why they flipped it back so this way they could show Santana winning. Maybe it was a passing of the torch from the old fucking stalwart Frankie Kazarian. I don't know. I do not know what goes on in their minds.
I don't know either.
It makes sense. If you think about it for a minute, it kind of makes sense. But you also built up Mike Santana just to have him drop the title less than a month later.
Yeah.
Like, why not just hold it? Why not just hold it off for the AMC debut if you're going to go that fucking nuts? Because then by then it would have been too late. Who knows? Who fucking knows?
Yeah, and they're like dangling like the prospect of Santana against AJ Styles, right? But then like Nick Nemeth has his cash in.
They went over. You couldn't even. They had that angle after the show with Nemeth being the special guest referee, but they went over time.
Well, did they have anybody sign their contract during that segment of the show?
No, but Nick Nemeth took off those Shawn Michaels shorts to referee in.
Fuck yeah, he did.
I don't know, I'd love to have like an in-depth conversation about TNA Genesis, but I just didn't
care. I get it.
Yeah. I wanted to bring it up.
Speaking of Nick Nemeth shorts, HK. Yeah. Kind of cold there in Minnesota. You and the lady tucked in for the weekend. Maybe some of your goods were tucked into a pair of Tony shorts.
Tony, I'm telling you, I have a plan with those, right? And I know she's listening. Don't ruin the plan.
You don't think the plan's going to be ruined when she takes off your shorts or your jeans or whatever you're wearing and Tony's fucking face is there?
No, because no! he's gonna cut a hole out where my mouth is. And fucking Mr. Winky's gonna be standing at attention.
Yeah. Mr. Winky.
Captain, I like to call him Captain.
Captain Winky. Winky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be like a fucking stimulator, right?
Like the sword dildo?
A little bit like the sword dildo, yeah.
The sword dildo. I'm sorry. The W was silent when I said it.
Stimulator.
It's not a sword dildo.
Not yet.
Or is it?
Sounds like a fucking ride if Buck opened an amusement park, the stimulator.
Maybe I'll cut the chin area of the shorts out and I'll just let my long nuts.
Have your nuts hang out.
Tony's got like a fucking an Aubrey Edwards face on Tony.
Aubrey Edwards face and a Peter Griffin chin. Hey Molly. Get a load of my nuts.
Tony doesn't have a horse face.
Aubrey? She sure does.
Tony doesn't have
a horse face. But if it looks like his chin is as long as my nuts, he sure as shit will.
Oh, Wilbur. Get the peanut butter.
I'm out on this.
I'll send you a picture. We'll bring you back in.
Please.
You say please?
Yes.
All right. Bro stuff.
No.
Fuck yeah.
Is it bro stuff if...
Yes. If you're jerking off to a picture of my nuts? Yeah.
Who? Why do you always have to go there?
Sorry, I'll be back here.
I just don't understand why you always have to go there.
Why would you not go back to nuts?
It's always, though. Like always, there's nothing else.
What else do you? What would you like to talk about?
No, I'm just saying. Like, I don't know. We get creative or something.
I thought it was pretty creative. Handsome Kevin walking around with my Schwans where his mouth were.
Yeah, it was like a whole fucking art project here.
Yeah, dude, he's got a fucking Picasso in his pants, and you're talking shit. Come on,
you don't know what he's got in his pants.
It's probably delightful.
If you guys were really bros, you would have already sent him a picture months ago, years ago.
Just a picture?
Yeah, come on, dude.
Look, I've been around. First of all,
HK comes to you. Tony don't go to HK. And I think that's a little riff in the relationship. Right? Tony didn't go to Minnesota. HK's been to kill. HK's come out of here twice for Tony.
Three times.
Has it? Three times. Right? And the five-time champion, he's never even gone west for
you. Somebody has to keep Rory company.
Well, there's only been one opportunity so far. There'll be another one.
Yeah, but he didn't even make an attempt.
I think he made an attempt.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, dude. Like,
I think it was like, if we don't talk about it, it never happened.
Huh. Interesting.
He just like, he was like, you know what? We're not going to talk about this. I'm just going to let it happen.
No, fucking let's talk about it. Why not?
Yeah. But this is between you two. If you guys are all, you know, I thought you guys were doing bro stuff together. Well, hand Tony, stuff.
I know I'll be there in August, but I'd like to, again, extend the invite for you to come here in October.
I think I might be doing
the dates, and I'll be there.
No, you were not invited. See, you were not invited. It's a bro weekend.
All right.
Double T is also invited.
Yes.
So is Jersey Cow Jesse.
What about Brundlefly?
He's probably doing some Disney bullshit with his family, right, Brundlefly?
Wow.
Not this fucking year. You can't do that every fucking year, that's for sure.
Of course. Of course, Brundlefly. Why wouldn't I?
Bro, how much limoncello are you going to drink?
This is, it's been the same shot since I poured before Doug Gilbert joined us. Calm your tits.
Okay, I'm just, all right. You know what? You're going to have a fucking intervention here. The fucking limoncello Tony over here.
I was just sipping.
Double T.
You're just sipping.
Cello.
Yeah, it was the same fucking glass I poured at 7 o'clock.
Right, well, you're like fucking trying to get every last drop of goodness out of it.
I'd say that's being thrifty, enjoying every last drop.
Yeah, I'm savoring.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do we got? We got this Royal Rumble season, Saturday night's main event this weekend. And maybe we talk some AEW, JCW. HK watched the Limitless Wrestling show. I'm interested to talk about. And we got homework.
Fuck yeah, we do.
But I guess what do we, how do we?
Yeah, we'll be back. I gotta do my, I'm just going to go see if my wife will destroy my nuts again real quick.
We would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in each week to The Shining Wizards. Here are some other ways in which you can support the show. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you always do. You'll pay the same low prices, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy a Shining Wizards t-shirt, visit merch.shiningwizards.com to visit our pro wrestling tee store and select from over a dozen great designs. You can also become a Patreon supporter at patreon.shiningwizards.com, where we offer bonus content, producer credits, and so much more. Continue to listen to the show wherever you listen to podcasts and watch along live on social media. And don't forget to like, rate, review, and subscribe. Your continued support helps us to continue to bring you the best in professional wrestling podcasting.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Start your week with the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling. And the Tots Pod, introducing the world to wrestling figure collecting. Follow up with 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. And The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. The Network Week continues with The Mark Order, your place for everything AEW. And the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. Later, it's Radioactive Metal, bringing you everything from the world of heavy metal music. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like The Brocast, your watch-along podcast from Down Under. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. And Going Underground, a show that takes you back through the history of Lucha Underground. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at shiningwizardsnetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You want to fight. You want to become a champion. But face facts, you suck. But you don't have to suck. And you won't suck when you train with the best. Train at the Wizards Wrestling School. We'll train you in all forms of combat, including Japanese wrestling and wrestling in pudding with no clothes on. Got $5,000? We'll take your $5,000 and train you to be a champion. Maybe. Got what it takes? Join us on the mean streets of Morristown and find out if you got what it takes to win championships. It's the Wizards Wrestling School, taking money and taking names.
And while I don't know about you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that belt for the Wizard School promotional video. I kind of dig the championship vest. I really do.
Cool look, yeah.
It looks cool as hell. Like if you did a gladiator type wrestling show, like that'd be an awesome fucking championship.
Well, yeah, and then you don't have to worry about them holding up the belt upside down or like anything like that. You just throw it on. There it is. Just
throw it right over your head.
Fuck it on. You're good.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Well, while you're signing up for Wizards Wrestling School, be sure to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. $3 a month gets you the bonus content. HK and Brundo just dropped the latest episode, the 10th episode of the Rogues Indie Chronicles, where JJ Rogue and company participate in a wrestling show at a tattoo shop. So it's definitely worth the listen. There's also the first ever episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast where I highly suggest you don't go and listen to it. and then me and Tony just recorded the fourth edition of Wizards History on Sunday, and that'll be dropping in February. There's also a free tier where you can get the Wizards Weekly, which is a weekly newsletter that gets sent to all subscribers. And it just kind of keeps you updated on what's going on in the world of the Wizards. And you will get any news, new guests, new shows. All that information will be in the Wizards Weekly newsletter. So check that out at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. The ghouls are out and about. Yeah, I'm bringing it back. You know what? I'm bringing it back. New year, new ghouls.
Does that mean Shining Wizards come back too? Team.
What? Hey, what now?
Slobblins, could that come back too, or
baby steps? I think we go baby
okay
steps.
Okay, all right.
Next week, maybe
2 weeks then.
Yeah, big weekend for the ladies over at the Wizard Street team at Wizard Street this week. They will be at WPW Cold Out for Snow No Mercy in Winnipeg, Manitoba. They will be at Wrestling for a Cause in Winnipeg, Manitoba. They will be at AEW Collision in Arlington, Texas on the 24th as well. So two shows on Saturday and two chances for you to run into the girls from the street team at Wizard Street. Also Dynamite on the 28th, WPW and WSO Brawl in the Hall, Manitoba.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh my gooby.
You win a Toba, you lose a Toba.
I think my wife just yelled at me.
What? She said, Manitoba, you fucking idiot.
So that's the street team at Wizard Street. Give the squad over there a follow. They're doing a great job. They're giving out free Wizards merchandise. All you got to do is say hello and be kind to them. They will hook you up. Oh, boy. Where do you gentlemen want to go from here? What do you want to talk? What are we, like a week and a half away from the Royal Rumble, and everything on WWF TV, WWE TV up until Friday night was all about Saturday night's main event. And we have finally gotten mentioned that Cody is declared for the Rumble. He did that on SmackDown.
He's not winning the Rumble.
No.
No way, no chance, no how. You think they're running him and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year?
I really hope not.
I think they're pivoting from that. I think it's gonna go back to like him and Drew. They were saying this week.
So that means he's not
with him and Drew and Fatu.
So that means Fatu's winning the Royal Rumble then?
No, because you have Phil has his title.
Mm-hmm. No, but then how do we get the three of them?
You can do Elimination Chamber. You can tell a story. I think Roman Reigns wins the Rumble and he goes after Phil.
Yeah.
They have the history. I don't think we've really gotten, you know, last year was the three-way with Roman and Seth, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And,
yeah, that main evented night one?
One?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're still a little, I still don't think they're on friendly terms there. So it'd be
Seth coming back. What's his timeline? Seth
is still hurt.
I think he's after Mania. He wasn't going to be ready for it.
Okay.
I don't know. Is there too much going on right now in the WWE world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm still with like of the mindset that they got to thin the roster a little bit. Like there's still too much at the top. And you got to dissect, and you got to push who's going to be the next, because that's what's going to be important right now. Coming next, I mean, especially over the course of the last like 2 years, like the shit's got to get thinned out, and they got to start moving people in. I mean, especially you got like guys coming back too, Kevin Owens. You know what I mean, when he comes back, where is he going to fit in? You got right, guys that got could Randy be in the top. Back. Right. It's just it's flooded. It's super flooded, and. It'll be interesting to see which way they go, who stays, who goes, all that kind of stuff. But they do need to thin the roster.
There's just so there's Raw, there's SmackDown, there's the monthly pay-per-views, there's Saturday night's main event. There's now every Friday is this AAA show where they're sending like Dom and Ray and Penta. Like it's just a lot, man. And then like TNA NXT, like who fits where. You know, and look, shit falls through the cracks, right? They let AI fucking make a graphic with Dom Mysterio, the AEW world champion. What did I do? What happened?
Fucking, what? Yeah, sorry. Tropic L. He said, why do we have people declare for the Rumble? The only person I get excited about declaring for the Rumble is Toot.
Me too, Tropic. Help me too, buddy.
I don't know. It just like it doesn't feel like Royal Rumble. Like everything they're doing is to lead up to Saturday night's main event this week. Everything on SmackDown was all those qualifying matches.
You're just racist because it's gonna be in Saudi Arabia.
I'm not. I took the day off. I'm excited to watch the Royal Rumble.
What time's it on at 11 a.m.?
2. Oh,
2 p.m. Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Get a crave case at 1.
Oh.
Get the shits at 1:30.
I'd like to start. I'd like start at like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm in on that.
Oh, they got breakfast sandwiches at White Castle too now.
I've never been so brave.
Oh, I could parlay my whole day. I could get fucking a whole thing delivered at like 9 a.m. Start with breakfast, save some for lunch, and then save the rest for dinner.
There's no shot. You'll get something will happen. You'll have to you won't get to watch the whole Rumble in one sitting.
Well, I'm not going to watch the women's match if that's what you're asking.
No?
Nope. Why? So we could see Michelle McCool and fucking Nikki Bella fucking return? Who cares?
Nikki Bella's back already. Brie would be a good
return. Whatever. Yes, her and her cheese.
Cheese yeah. Bella.
Cheese Bella.
I'm kind of with you, too. Like,
I don't give a shit. Who's going to be the big surprise? What TNA broad is going to fucking come up like it's a big deal and it's really not?
The women's champion?
Would they resign? You think the Iconics will be back?
Oh, no, why somebody gone. From TNA to
Iconics are gone from TNA. That was it this Tuesday.
Who cares?
This Tuesday in Texas, the Thursday. Iconics are gone.
Thursday, that's right.
Whatever. This Thursday in Manitoba, they rumbled out of the BERT.
Winitoba, dumbass.
Yeah. More like Lusitoba, huh? Lusitoba. It sounds like a fucking podiatric condition.
What's a podiatric?
A foot?
Oh.
Kamala.
He had a missing podiatric condition.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, WWE's not something I'm like, outside of the Rumble, like, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown.
True Pencil Pro chimes in, stadium in Saudi is not even fully built yet. That's a true statement.
That'll be fine.
You think there's going to be a fucking disaster looming?
Nah, look at those slaves working. I mean, those wonderful people over there that want to be building these stadiums. You know that they do slave labor over there, HK. You're looking around like...
Talking like building the pyramids kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, essentially, yes.
Hey, can we call... We're off the rails. Can we call Doug Gilbert back?
Doug's watching a football game, Tony.
Call him back.
He doesn't...
Why? You're going to see if he's going to go build a stadium?
Just ask him a question about the game. I'll fucking talk to us for 25 minutes.
He's got a professional setup. He's probably in his living room. He's going to have to go to his office and set things up. You don't want to do that.
All right. If you think Doug Gilbert's got a professional setup, what's Tommy Rich's setup look like?
I bet you somebody helped Tommy with his setup.
Hey, is this a microphone?
Doug didn't have no problem signing in, getting on, mm-hmm. being part of the show.
I love how you just became country right there. Doug didn't have no problem.
Doug didn't have no problem. Where's the mic, Justin? Get my mic over here, Justin.
Jesus, really? This is what we're doing?
So look, when will we decide on picks?
It doesn't matter. Indiana just went up with 2 minutes left in the first quarter. They're up 3-0 on the Canes. So the Canes right now is the better bet, taking them with +7.5. There you go.
Because I would pick Roman Reigns and Bianca Belair.
And that was Tony with sports.
Fuck yeah, now with weather, it's Brundlefly.
It's going to rain.
Thanks, Brundle. And now we go to, did you see this, Justin? Vince, you ready to do a show? I'm fucking ready to be done.
ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Fuck yeah. By the way, something I learned over the weekend. If your show talks about another podcast on Apple Podcasts, it will caption it underneath the picture. And it'll give you a link to so you can subscribe and go check out that other podcast. I never noticed that before, but that's pretty fucking cool.
Well, I didn't know you still used Apple Podcasts.
All the time. That's really? My go-to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I even got my Patreon feed coming through Apple Podcasts. So yeah. There you go. That's a possibility. If you subscribe on Patreon, you can get it right in your gimmick.
Yeah, it's on my Spotify.
There you go.
All right, so nobody cares about the Rumble?
I mean, it'll be fun. The Rumble's a fun match. It's cool to watch, cool to see who comes back, but
I don't know. That it's not going to end at fucking midnight this year. That's right. Plus. Mm-hmm.
They should make a conscious effort to make WWE pay-per-view. Well, pay-per-views on a Sunday should be afternoon pay-per-views.
Yeah, they really don't do Sunday pay-per-views anymore.
But when they do.
SummerSlam
will be tonight.
SummerSlam! Yeah.
Fucking, you know, 4 or 5 matches. Bruce Pritchard said, you know, that's the way to go now.
Yeah, 4 or 5 matches with 2 hours of fucking commercials.
And Booker T had a desk with Big E and fucking Sam Roberts. And
because if you have 8 matches, no one will remember them.
I mean, I have a hard time remembering them when there's 5 matches, so.
Yeah, you know why they're not memorable? Because
They're not memorable. That's
fucking garbage.
There's no fucking, there's no like 6-month stories. There's no year long stories. There's nothing. There's really no thickness to the connective tissue when it comes to the fucking stories in wrestling anymore. There's just not.
There is year long stories. They just drag it out. It's a story that should have been 6 months.
Oh, like fucking Kenny Omega and the fucking cowboy. Remember that shit? People were like, this is 5 years in the making. Nope. Just because the last match happened 5 years ago doesn't mean you get to count that time in between.
Why you got to bring AEW into the conversation?
It's a fucking analogy, dude. It's the way that storytelling has gone fucking completely off the rails in 2026.
2026? It's been
in the past fucking 20 years. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was Bruce Pritchard a while ago. He was telling the story. No, maybe it was pretty recent. Telling the story about the build from WrestleMania 4 to 5. where they would just like, they would tell like, hey, Hulkster, if Liz starts losing her balance, just put your hand up there. Just give her a little balance. Just help her out. Just those little fucking nuggets, those little fucking tidbits. So when all the shit fucking hits the fan, they can go, hey, remember this? Hey, remember when Macho Man gave him that fucking cross-eyed look? Remember when that shit happened? We don't have that anymore because everything's got to be bing, 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 quick.
Yeah. Now he's just, you know, sucking that TKO dick and feeding us the company line.
Good. He should. No, he set he was, for life.
He was part of all those pay-per-views where there were 10 matches on it and they meant more. Now he's like, no, no, that's way too many matches. People won't remember anything.
Well, they probably didn't.
I don't even remember their last pay-per-view.
What was the last Alberto Del Rio fucking WrestleMania match?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can tell you Andre's.
Right. I can't tell you, like, do you have like five of your favorite WWE matches from the last like 20 years?
Yes. One of them was definitely that three-way with fucking with Sheamus and Claymore and God, who the fuck was the third guy? Was it Gunther? It was Gunther. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what WrestleMania that was?
WrestleMania.
Wasn't that was Clash of the Castle?
No, it was WrestleMania.
It was a WrestleMania.
But see, but that's the point, right? Like,
yep.
Steamboat Savage, said- three. Andre Hogan, three. Savage.
Do
Hogan,
you? Four. But do you think there are kids out there nowadays that are good at remembering things the way we remembered them?
No.
You don't think there's like 10-year-old Double T somewhere in the country who can fucking rattle off every match that happened at like WrestleMania 36?
Yeah, I bet there is.
Probably, maybe. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it's who just lived through everything with Cody and he's like, oh, Cody's my man. He's going to win and fucking knows every match that Cody won and everything that happened at the matches in between and how much he hates The Rock because The Rock cost him the championship. Right?
Yep. 100%.
There's got to be.
More than one.
There's got to be like a podcast like 5 years from now where there's these kids who are like just turning 20 and they're telling their stories. Gotta be.
That's a fair point.
I have faith that happened, even though like we look at it and we're like, this is like, you know, we don't remember this shit. And it's not because we're like feeble minded or old or anything like that. It's just, it doesn't resonate with us. Like probably because we're older, probably because we have a lot more in life going on. But what did you have going on when you were 10? It was going to school, hanging out with your friends and having your friends come over and watch wrestling together.
Yeah, but that's not the way they consume wrestling anymore.
I'm going to counterpoint that. I don't think people actually will remember it or make a choice to remember it because it's so fucking easy to look it up. Like, why memorize? Oh, what was the card for WrestleMania 36? Oh, boom, got my phone. Here it is, 2 seconds later. So, like, we had to remember this shit because there was no internet to look it up on, or we had to pull out an old PWI to look on it. You know, nowadays it's just like 3 seconds and you got it.
Yeah, it's a look at they're all viable arguments. It's just I think at the end of the day, I don't think any of it is like memorable. Maybe the Cody run will sit with people, right? That you know, I'm sure there's a ton of fans who like that Cody arc was great, right? But like, I don't know. Is there a mid-card feud that is remembered in this generation versus something we remembered? Like the model spraying the arrogance and Jake's face. Like, what's the equivalent of that now?
Speculation, fucking what's her nuts? The fucking the alpha bitch.
The alpha
Maxine Dupree.
She was part of Alpha Academy, no?
Yeah, and then one day she's just a shoe fighter after she trained at the dungeon for a week.
Yeah, now Natty fucking turned on her anyway. What the fuck are we doing?
What the fuck are we doing? HK's thinking. He's thinking hard over there. I see him.
Well, I'm just like, there's got to be something, Sammy. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
Sure, there has to be something to say, but like, where? What?
What is it? Right. And that's like the memory part of it is the part that's now escaping like fucking all of us. You know what I mean? Like, right, that's, it's not there anymore.
That Sammy match was also on Raw. It was also on SmackDown. It was also on NXT. Like, it's happened so often.
Right. But the other part, I think the other part of this equation is that we are fucking flooded with wrestling now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there is every single night of the week you can see something new. And if you're not catching something new, there's, you know, YouTube or the, you know what I mean? Like we are 100% flooded. We're like, go back and you had to catch, you know, whatever it was, fucking Challenge or Superstars or, you know, WC, like those, you had to see them. You had to catch them. And it wasn't like every fucking night. You know what I mean? Like there was time in between, things settled, things sunk in, like, and then you had the stories that had to play out over time. And now that it's completely fucking different, completely different. So I don't know that it's necessarily that, you know, I prefer, and I know this, I prefer product from years ago, much prefer product from years ago, but like, does it mean that it's necessarily not going to resonate with like these kids coming up? They're not going to remember it coming up. And is it because there is so much fucking overflow? You know what I mean?
I don't, but it's also like for that 10-year-old Matt, right? Like for that one 10-year-old Matt, like there's 10 10-year-old Matts who only watch WWE or only watch AEW, right? Yeah. When I was growing up, I can't speak for you guys, but like, I was watching WWF. I was watching WCW. I was watching ECW. I was ordering tapes from RF Video, things that just sounded insane because I just had to see it all. If I saw it in a wrestling magazine, I wanted to see it. And to a certain extent, I'm still like, I brought it up earlier. Like you had the pick of the litter Saturday night, right? Mm-hmm. You could have watched AAA. You could watch AEW. You could watch TNA. You could watch Limitless Wrestling. You would watch GCW. That's five events that I know of on a Saturday night where you could just log in and see, right? You watch Limitless.
Not to mention just going to a fucking show. Just going to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's everywhere, man.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, balloon will pop sooner or later, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, like I asked before, like, is it too much? Like, think what you want about Vince McMahon. No shot under his watch does he let another promotion's heavyweight championship show up on any program that has the WWE attached to it without him giving the thumbs up.
Right, 100%.
Like, you had AI write you something, you had people watch it and then say, yeah, go for it. So you either don't give a shit or those people are fucking burned out. Think about everything the WWE is doing, right? Just on TV, then throw in everybody has a fucking podcast, the Cody podcast, the Stephanie McMahon podcast, the fucking Usos are going to get a cooking show. We're bringing that back, Tony.
That's fucking amazing. Right? My fucking just mind, like, is blown.
I know which one's going to be cooking with alcohol.
Oh my God. Could you imagine Naomi's walking by and they're just smacking her in her ass while they're cooking and shit?
She's going to have a baby.
Like, hey, Oos, go get me that shit, Oos. She fucking comes in. She starts hitting him on the head with a wooden spoon. Oh my God. It's such potential. They could have fucking Penta come in and say pendejo and hold up fucking chorizos and shit.
Oh, it's just God. Like, constant, like, they just can't put out enough, and it's like they're on ESPN, they're on Peacock, they're on Netflix, like, and they're trying to save money with TKO, so like they're cutting corners. So, you know, to me, I think it's fucking embarrassing that they let a computer write a program where another company's title showed up on it. Mm-hmm. If it was the other way around, people would have fucking burned AEW to the ground.
Because AEW sucks, bro.
Okay, that's your opinion now. Like, there is no conversation WWE's King of the Mountain, and they're letting shit like this slide. It's not a good look.
Just got to slide this in. Thoughts and prayers to you as well, Ted. Ted's in the chat here. Ted's takes on wrestling. Thoughts and prayers, buddy.
That's crazy. There's just so much. It's just so much.
Is there an answer then? Like, what?
I,
I don't know. If there is an answer, I don't have it, HK.
Right. Like, because you're not, like, if you're WWE, you're not going to pull back what you're producing because that's who's paying you is requesting this or demanding this, you know what I mean, the amount of content. So you're not going to pull back if you're WWE. If you're AEW, you're not going to pull back because you're still trying to, you know, you're starting to trying to get your market share. TNA's got their show now, trying to get their market share. So, like, we're not going to end up with less. You just got to isolate. Oh, this is like, I'm only an indie guy now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is more like, is there such thing as oversaturating the market?
Yeah, like 100%.
Look, no, Cody is great as the champion. Have you ever listened to his show? He has the personality of a fucking can of paint.
No.
Like, not in the ring, he's so fucking boring.
Never watched it.
Yeah, it's not good. The most entertaining podcast they do is the Stephanie McMahon one. The Undertaker one sucks now that he has his wife with it. No one wants to listen to Michelle McCool. I'm sorry.
No, accurate.
She's the worst. They should bring back the other guy. I don't know why he's not doing the podcast with him anymore.
Oh, you know why.
Because I don't know why. Why?
Dude.
I don't.
I'll give you two reasons.
Give me two. She's not very well endowed up there, is she?
Michelle McCool? She's from the Divas area where the everybody Divas was.
Area, yes. It's like Area 51. HK just fucking spit.
Is that it's like the private zone?
Yes.
I'm Googling. Those are not.
The Divas area.
That's not it. That is not well in doubt.
No, the point is the show.
Well in doubt? Whip it out.
Jesus Christ. Holy shit. HK, can we pronounce words correctly tonight, please? And fucking help these guys out.
Mine might be bigger.
Please take your shirt off. No, let me touch Rhiannon.
I will not take my shirt off.
You can ask her to punch double T in the sack.
I'm just going to put Matt's taking his shirt off.
I'm not taking my shirt off. The good news is the door is closed behind me now, so I can see when it opens. And if she comes from this way, I'll catch her out of my perif.
Look the other way, Matt.
I'll do no such thing.
I think the last text I got from Rhiannon was the first time Kevin came to New Jersey. And she's texting.
My shirt is
like,
on. My shirt is on. Game to make sure. I like the camera like that though. That was good. I could just move it like that. I learned my lesson. I will not be fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
Once
shame
again.
On you.
Once again, watch this show on YouTube.
Oh God, you have to
fucking just listen. Moments like this.
The fuck was I gonna ask?
Oh, there you go. Ted mentions Undertaker's old co-host, Maven's podcast. He said WWE bought the rights, but he was not brought along with it. Huh.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. He was a pretty good host. He kept things moving, kept it conversational. It's weird seeing Undertaker, like, listening to him, like, lead a show. It's so weird, right?
I kind of wish he went back to not breaking kayfabe.
You didn't like him fucking doing $10,000 cameos for All Elite Scooby-Doo?
That was, $10,000, yeah, go nuts. But, like, I don't know, man. Kind of said some pretty goofy shit since he started talking, so. Some things were better left unsaid.
Nah, let him live his best life, bro. He's a fucking Undertaker. Man.
Bring back the other guy. Let your wife go back to doing whatever she does.
Yeah, the Rumble's coming up. Go in that.
Ugh.
It's so weird seeing like the big stars of wrestling from like when we were little and like how they are in real life. Like how the Hulkster lived with all his interviews, like embellishing everything and making everything just constantly like more and more outrageous. Like the stories, the way he twisted them and told them. I don't know if you've seen Steve Austin with his interview with Chris Van Vliet. He's just a fucking redneck dude from Texas.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like stomping a mud hole in his boss. Like, he's just a fucking crazy guy from Texas. He really is.
If you with two cats, Macho and Pacho.
Fucking nuts. He's at, well, dude, I don't know how often or how long you listened to his podcast when they were on. He would fucking cut promos on flies that were in his house. Oh, that was great. Oh my God. He just a fucking nut job, dude. He's a crazy fucking Texan.
We're just getting, he's getting tuned up on wine, cutting promos on fucking bugs. It's fantastic. Problem was the bug was so low to the ground, he couldn't get the kick to the gut.
Goddamn son of a bitch. It's pissed off that he'd have to fucking drive from California to the ranch back in Texas. The Undertaker, he's another guy. He's just a fucking Texas dude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird because he didn't talk for so long and now like he's not dead. He's just a dude.
He had Bruce Pritchard on recently, and the two of them called fucking Glenn Jacobs in his office.
An hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but it was cool hearing stories. Like, they were talking about when Leslie Nielsen came out for SummerSlam, when it was Undertaker versus Undertaker, and they were filming shit in Connecticut, and Leslie Nielsen wanted to go to some strip club, so they wound up taking him there.
All right. Yeah, pretty interesting story.
Sounds interesting. Oh my God. Yeah, the shit. Like, he was like, we always got ourselves in trouble. We stood out of everybody else's trouble, but we made our own trouble. It was a good listen.
We kind of touched upon it before. We were talking WWE, like, we need new people coming in, and Powerhouse Hobbs looks like he's wrapped up in AEW. Does that do anything for anyone?
Nope. Mm-mm.
I don't, I get it, but like, it's a wrestling business. People got to go where they can make their money. They got to go where they can get their opportunities. They got to go see if the grass is greener on the other side. Like, the outrage that Will Hobbs is leaving AEW and possibly going to WWE is crazy. I don't think this generation of wrestling fan would have survived the Attitude Era. I really don't.
No. Anybody with outrage can pay his fucking mortgage and eat a shit. If he wants to, if that's what he wants to do, then go fucking for it. Who cares?
I think
this was his career in AEW in a nutshell. My brother was killed in front of me when I was blah, blah, blah years old. Wrestling helps me not think about him, or, you know, I'm doing it for my brother, or whatever the cliche was. And then he fucking loses anyway. And what's he done lately? He's stuck in a fucking trio with Samoa Joe and I don't know.
He was a three-man champion before Saturday night, Tony.
Yeah, whatever.
But I'm kind of with you, Tony. Like, he did all he could in AEW. Like,
he could have done a lot more. This is what they gave him to do. Same with Wardlow.
I think injuries hurt him too. Like, he had a couple of big like knee injuries and stuff. So
because these guys,
he would get hot,
they're not working often enough either. They're just not. Yeah.
That doesn't help.
It's the same thing for WWE. Like, when these guys were on the road, like, fucking 10 days out of a week, like, you were plying your trade. You were figuring things out. And plus, you weren't working these fucking crazy styles. Did you see Darby Allin get fucked up on them steps the other night?
Such a dumb fucking spot.
Like, for what reason? You're doing this on fucking TV in a throwaway fucking match.
It's funny. I was having a talk with somebody, right? Let me ask you guys. What do you think the best era of workers was in the WWF, WWE?
Probably 70s and 80s. Probably 80s. Because those guys were all over. They got the crowd into every fucking thing they did, and they did so little in the ring. Most of them, anyway.
And when those guys made it to the WWF, they were 7-8 years into a wrestling career already, right? When Vince cherry-picked everybody from those promotions, they were wrestling 300 times a year before they even got there for 6-7 years. 85, 86, 87, like, even the mid-card, they might not have been world champions, but those guys were fucking studs.
And not only that, but they would stick around for a couple years, and then they'd go back to NWA or AWA, and then come back a couple years later.
Now, I don't, and I think Will Hobbs is a great example, right? My fucking computer wasn't old. Right, let's go to Will Hobbs cage match. Like, what do you wrestle? 40 matches last year?
Yes.
Right? I don't know. They were showing his record every time he came out, right?
Last year in AEW, he wrestled 36 matches there, two matches at Big Time Wrestling, one match in New Japan, one match in CMLL. So 40 times. 40 times he wrestled last year.
Guys in the 80s would have done 40 matches in a month.
Like,
and they would have worked 10 to 15 minute matches. They wouldn't have fucking killed themselves, but everything they did in the ring would have fucking been an amazing story. Dutch Mantel talks about it all the time. Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, he would fucking give you 8 minutes. 4 minutes was coming to the ring dancing, getting the crowd hyped up. 2 minutes was in the ring beating the fucking guy he was wrestling, and 2 minutes was dancing on the way to the locker room, and the people ate that shit up with a spoon.
It's I don't know, man. I just don't know. Like, I'm with HK. Like, the more I'm doing, like, my wrestling journey and stuff, and look, I watch my go-to stuff during the week. Dynamite, I watch Dynamite. I watch JCW. I downloaded the Roku app on the TV because I think I want to check out the NWA again.
Hmm. Was it because of the ad on JCW?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's a good point, though. I don't know. I'm looking for something different. And then I go back and I do my wrestling journey every night. Like, last night I watched the fucking Hart Foundation and Bulldogs from 86 at the Capitol Center. It was 15 minutes long and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah. Like, and that's, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead. You got to cut me off, 'cause I'll just keep talking.
No, I just when I'm like, I watch some classic Raw. Right. Some Attitude Era Raw, just because I wanted to feel like that fun sensation watching wrestling again, stuff that I super enjoyed back when it was happening. So I watched the starting Raw after WrestleMania when Austin beat Michaels. I mean, super fun time, right? Entertaining right. shows, like
right.
entertaining
here we go. Start to finish. Memory, right? X-Pac comes back.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Great, like great Foley and Funker against the Outlaws in the cage, right? A ton of fun shit, and you know, it's fun the following week too, and the following week also enjoyed it. Like, I had such a great time watching stuff in the vault while I was on the treadmill. Limitless Pro, I needed to find something else. I needed something completely different, just to catch something new. I watched Limitless Pro. Guess what, Beth Rica? I don't think so, but Limitless Pro. She's got a waybeak on her. I didn't realize that when she was looking at that thing. Anyways.
Oh, that's just hurtful, HK.
No, it's an observation. So she is a bird. She's got a waybeak because she's a bird. like Limitless Pro, really enjoyed watching it. But like going back and watching those different eras versus watching today's wrestling, there's something's missing to me in watching today's wrestling versus like stuff from 97, 98, stuff from fucking, you know, 89. Like it, watching those older, it just hits different. It hits better.
And I think, and I don't want to cut you off. I wanted to get, but like, I think that's why I enjoy JCW, right? Mm-hmm. They have characters, right? Yeah. Look, I've seen a fucking 5-star match. It's great. But you know what I want to be? I want to be fucking entertained.
Yeah.
And as yeah. dumb as it is, right? The fucking ring loser gets the ring rat, right? The fucking zombies, the big veto stuff. It's so fucking goofy. But I think it's entertaining to me. It's characters. It's things that I'm. Who's shitting Alice Crowley's bag?
Oh, that segment was horse shit.
So you watched it this week?
I watched, yeah.
Bro, Jasmine St. Clair was looking like a fish.
Oh, I was going to say. Oh, boy.
Well, she looks like she's had 1,000 dicks in her?
Grandma St. Clair's been served.
She looked like a goddamn porcupine. She had so many bricks stuck in her.
You got that turkey nut roaster.
I love Stephen Flo just for the fucking song.
Now, Stephen Flo's got some talent. He's pretty good in the ring.
You right? know what I loved about this week's JCW? Because I did love some stuff. I hate a lot of it. I loved when Vito's fucking strung up in the bathroom there, and they open the door, and Vito just looks up, and he's like, "What? You think this is the first time I've gotten tuned up?" And fuck, like the part that sucked about that is hitting a human with the baseball bat doesn't sound like you're hitting the brick fucking wall. Right? That's not how it sounds. Fix that.
It's JC fucking W.
Right, but that's simple. You know that hitting a human body doesn't sound like you're hitting a fucking wall.
Do you know zombies aren't real?
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay, that's a fair play.
She opens
the bag with the shit in it. The bag's sitting there wide open the entire time she's cutting the preview, and then she looks down and goes, "Oh, there's shit in my no." Open the bag and discover the shit. Don't fucking act like you opened the bag wide open in front of you and you're sitting with shit in a bag and then look down and go, "Oh, there's you smell shit." You can smell shit. Open the bag. Surprise, there's shit in it. Not open the bag, cut the promo, and then be like, "Oh, fuck, there's shit in the fucking bag." One thing that I love, Kerry Morton, man. Kerry Morton, if he had cardio up a little bit, maybe trim up a little bit, that kid could be a stud. He could be a stud. Yeah, Pondo still sucks too. I love the guy.
That's the only thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
Why is there Pondo fucking
he's beat up?
Yeah, but why is he on there?
Because he's the enforcer for old fucking Fartbox Magoo.
Yeah, but if he's gonna keep beating up fucking Mosh Pit Mike, who gives a shit?
That's true.
Right? Caleb Conley went to the ring without Jeeves and the Ring Rat, and he got a W. Maybe Matt Cross helped, but he still got a W. Is he better off without his lackeys? Is the St. Clair Monster Corporation falling apart? Mr. Happy and the Beast Man, they don't look like they're on the same page.
Butt in the front and titties.
Mr. Happy. A couple of Caleb Conley matches.
Sorry, I like JCW. It's different. It's entertaining. It's not fucking serious.
Did you? All right. So, you know, like every time they go to the ring for a match, like there's a juggalette. She's like holding up the card or whatever. And she gets out.
Like they got close to her butt and you could kind of look like she shit her pants.
No. I'm talking about the broad that was in there. Wait, I fucking missed that one.
Dude, you watched the show, didn't you?
Yeah, but no, I was more fixated on the one that didn't leave the ring when they were announcing the participants for the first match with Stephen Flo and the fucking Jeeves. And the broad is just standing there. And then you hear her on mic. She's going, "I don't know. No one told me to leave." And she's like walking up the ramp before Stephen Flo comes out.
Hey, did it bother you at all that the ring announcer was reading shit off his phone?
I think a lot of them do that nowadays.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah,
just I don't dig it.
An Elvis clown, but he was reading off his phone.
No, I mean the fucking. Well, I mean that's another thing too. Like the belayed Christmas party. Like, come on.
What is a belayed?
Belated. That's what I meant.
Well, there's only one left. Who hasn't pronounced anything
tonight. Take it easy.
The cheese stands alone.
So, but like, I don't know. Get the cards. I don't like that the guy is looking at his phone and announcing.
2026. That's easier. It's easier than writing shit down on a card. Dude,
I don't know what the news is like in Minnesota when there's like four cars on the highway and it's considered traffic. But even the reporters around here, like when they're on like NBC, ABC, they're all using their phone for their notes.
Really?
Nobody's got notepads anymore. Everything's on your phone.
Huh. Just doesn't feel right to me.
I get it. It shouldn't be. I mean, look, there's so little people on the JCW roster. You would think that they would memorize this shit, but what do I know?
True.
What did it take to memorize Stephen Flo's fucking weight and home address?
It was a different guy. It was the Elvis clown.
Oh, this match is one fall. That's what he should have fucking done. Like, we're the 20-minute time limit. Here he comes. He's got the flow. His name is Stephen Flo. It's like some shit like that, you know?
It's a pinfall. She's
I did like what they called. They called it the Doc Hendricks rules match for the fucking tag titles.
Yeah. And Mr. Happy cries.
I enjoy it. I enjoy JCW. Did you enjoy Limitless?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. So I didn't watch the...
Did you call him Toilet?
I heard that too.
Right? He said it was an interesting experience. Toilet?
No, I did not. Yeah, it was
stopped drinking limoncello an hour ago.
It's an interesting toilet experience. No, it was an interesting experience. So that was, I was on the treadmill, just kind of looking for something, right? And that popped up, and I went, "Fuck yeah, I'll check out some Limitless." Fast forwarded through a lot of the show. I did watch MJF and Alec Price. I thought they did a real nice match. Really enjoyed what they did there. After the match was over, that's when it was kind of funny. MJF's just fucking winded. He's in the corner. Like I say, they went the limit there in that match, and MJF's just, he's gasping for air. He gets the mic and he still goes, "Come on, music, come on, music." I'm going to laugh my balls off.
Wait. Back up. Before you continue, the Limitless Wrestling. So MJF, AEW World Champion, working an indie shot for Limitless Wrestling.
Defended the title on Limitless. Yeah. Yep. Defended the title.
Just wonder why I don't watch AEW.
So. I mean, I think he came up. That was like one of the, one of the federations he came up with. Limitless Rumble is usually a big one for them. So, you know.
Hold on. Brando, I don't want to cut you off. You, Tony. What is your fucking, what the fuck is your problem that he defended the title at an indie show?
It's because it's the same thing as TNA and WWE working together, right? No, AEW's got Limitless Wrestling under their banner now.
Why does it bother you?
Because it's stupid. This is supposed to be the world champion, the champion of the world. Hey, what's Limitless doing? What are you doing, MJF? Nothing. Hey, why don't you go to Limitless Wrestling and go defend our world championship in front of 200 people?
Isn't the point of being a world champion to defend it across the world
at Limitless Wrestling?
Tony, can I
shit. People showed up for it.
Going back into like the old days, didn't world champions travel? They put it on in different promotions. They, you know what I mean? Like, I know we're in a different time now, but like, doesn't that kind of like play into your
really Limitless Wrestling and AEW? If it was the AEW World Champion working for fucking WWE doing a match, then yeah, fine, sure. If he went to New Japan, yeah, fine, sure. This is not a territorial system here, HK.
Well, no, not anymore. But you know what I mean? Not anymore. But I mean, it's not.
You think Harley Race would have showed up at Limitless Wrestling in 2026? He would have told them to fucking wipe their ass.
Yeah, but you said earlier, everybody wants wrestling to be good, so it hurts nobody if the AEW World Champion.
Yes, it does. It hurts the AEW World Champion.
No, it doesn't. He won.
He won.
Great. He beat Alex Price. Whoop de doo.
Who now works for AEW?
Yeah, you know what Alex Price was doing before that? JCW
and GCW.
Whoop de doo.
ECW and fucking every place else. ROH.
He was on the show, but
is he gonna be the next fucking Danny Garcia? Him and fucking Jordan Oliver.
The thing that I didn't like about them defending the belt on, like, because you know that he's not losing. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part.
That's what you took away from this? That he's not losing?
I want the fucking match, Limoncello. So that was the part that I didn't like. Like, you know that he's not going to lose the match, so why put the belt on? Like, it seems very silly to do something like that. Cutting the promo.
Go, make an appearance. Say, this is the house that MJF built, whatever. Let him sock somebody in the face who mounts off to him or some shit. Let him put somebody over. That's it. Put him in the press box. He's here to fucking watch the Rumble, the thing that made him the wrestler he is. I don't know. Not defending the fucking AEW World Championship.
Just sock him in the face.
Like, seriously, right, your AEW right World Champion shows up at Limitless, I guess because there's no limits, we can have the AEW World Champion because we're Limitless.
Well, another interesting part about the Limitless show was that they also had a WWE ID title match on that show. So it's kind of a first. We had something, you know, AEW defended on the show and something WWE defended on the same show. So that was very interesting. It was a very interesting show.
You're gonna forget this happened in 6 months,
Tony. That's your cue to rage about that too.
Oh no, I'm not raging about that, because you know what titles weren't defended, but when a WWF champion showed up in New Japan Pro Wrestling to challenge their world champion, you get tonight's homework.
No, we're not there yet, though. We're not. What? Dude, it's fucking there yet.
It's 9 o'clock, you fuck. I was off from work today. I want to call it an early night. Get to fucking homework and stop talking to me about limitless fucking wrestling.
No, because we're not done. I do. There's another thing HK brought up that I do want to touch upon. There's two things I want to talk about. I thought MJF and Bandido was fucking awesome Wednesday night on Dynamite, but
it was overshadowed by his amazing match at Limitless where he was fucking gassed.
The last 2 weeks.
He was gassed against a fucking guy wrestling for Limitless Pro Wrestling. Banger, I bet you it was. Fucking piece of shit. This is what the fucking weirdos and the fucking ghouls or whatever they're called want from fucking wrestling.
So is this how you felt?
What if he would have got hurt? Answer me that. What if MJF would have fucking
You can't have it both ways. You can't work house shows or once a week. You have to pick your poison.
40 a month. This isn't 40 a month show. 40 a month. You just wanted people to wrestle 40 times a month. And now you're saying
AEW fucking confines.
Well, they're not going to do that. They're playing
house shows, not Limitless Wrestling.
They're playing the desert.
Because there's limits on wrestling. Despite their name, it's a misnomer. It should be Wrestling with Limits.
Like, would you have survived the 70s if you saw like
yes!
Or, like an hour?
That was the fucking different system. First of all, I probably would have been high on mushrooms and cocaine.
Hell yeah.
Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle for Limitless Wrestling.
No, Hulk Hogan can't wrestle.
Ah!
He's dead, stupid.
Hulkamania lives forever.
Yes.
True.
Not his body, though.
So my problem is leading up to this Bandido MJF match, not only did they not mention it was champion versus champion, but everything they did on the 2 weeks prior television that involved Kenny Omega, Hangman, and Shane Strickland insinuated that there was no shot MJF was losing the title, and they fucking all were like, we're coming for your title, MJF. We're coming for your title, MJF. And that's like a small thing that you should probably pay attention to and maybe wait until MJF has this match.
Yeah. Yep.
With Bandito,
until they're short, he's coming back with the title from Alec Price and Limitless Wrestling. He could have very well lost the title. What if? Oh, Alec Price, we had to sign him. He's our world champion now.
He's got the triple B.
Was that match title for title?
You know what? Limitless Wrestling didn't have before HK
watched a women's rumble.
No, they didn't have HK watching the show. HK tuned in. It's a win. Someone tuned in.
HK, will you be watching it next week?
Doesn't matter if he's gonna watch it next week. He tuned in.
Yeah. So and I was just kind of in the mood where I wanted to see some like I wanted to watch some indies. You know what I mean? Like I was kind of in that mood. So that it was an indie show that popped up and they had the rumble, which was a fun little rumble to watch. I did commentate. The color commentator kind of annoyed me, but it was a fun rumble. Unexpected winner of the rumble. My homie the Nomi won that thing, and that was interesting to see a gal win. It was a fun little show. Like I really enjoyed my time watching it. So like the promo that MJF cut to let
Price and
Oliver know, yeah, that they're going to AEW that was a cool spot. Like it seemed like it meant something to the guys to have it be the, you know, at their home promotion announced in front of the home crowd that they're going to AEW. It was cool. It was a fun show to watch.
Can I seriously ask you one question?
Of course.
Alec Price and Jordan Oliver, they don't have any old tweets that they might regret in the next coming weeks, do they?
We're like on the same wavelength, Tony, because this is the other thing I wanted to talk about.
See, I know. I can lead you to water, brother. I can't lead you to speak, but I can lead you to water.
I don't know. Maybe you could take me to speech therapy.
It sounded like he said you can gag me for speech therapy. Was that? Did I mishear that?
No, you misheard. You need some hearing aids.
All right. So the AEW signed the Rascals. We got
some promo packages, and I think they were on Collision. I didn't watch Collision, and then Trey Miguel was not. He was not part of the Rascals, and he was released immediately after being signed. And there was a lot of speculation about what happened, and he had put something out like, "I'm just going to take a break from wrestling."
Yep.
And then the internet sleuths got to sleuthing, and the wrestling journalists actually started doing their job. And apparently this release came from, this has not been confirmed, but it is the scuttlebutt as the release came from Warner Brothers. And it goes back to Trey Miguel tweeting at David Starr several years ago, and maybe using a couple homophobic slurs in the similar department as the Jay Briscoe situation.
So couldn't bury him on ROH. Leave it at that.
Nope.
Hmm. So I'm kind of surprised about this, because if you look at Zachary Wentz, remember when he got fired from NXT? He had a
little tiny mustache, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. So why is he still there?
Yeah, it's a really... it's a weird stance for Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Right? Because all the, and then he had tweeted this afternoon, like, he has made a lot of mistakes. He's apologized. He didn't put his best foot forward. I don't preach hate, and I don't take any pride in being hateful. I'm a man of faith. I believe in forgiveness and only preach that I am a different man today. I don't know. It's kind of shitty. And especially, like, come on, what the truth came out about David Starr, like, he's no fucking...
Yeah.
Doesn't excuse it, but it's also years ago. And, like, to Brundo's point, like, homeboy shaved his mustache into a tiny mustache and then was, like, parading around for funsies, and there's a whole, like, ethnic group that doesn't think that's a funsies type of thing. But Warner Brothers is like, that is okay. But this thing you did with your words that you typed out, like, we can't, I don't know. It's just weird. And there's nobody at AEW and Warner Brothers to vet this before, like.
They don't give people a chance to grow. They don't give people a chance to fucking, you know, like, hey, I posted shit when I was young. It was stupid. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And fucking life goes on.
Right. Like, they did that, like, the Ricky Starks rape thing, right? They sent him to counseling when he said on that podcast, you want to rape that Mercedes Moné or Sasha Banks or whatever, right?
That was Sammy Guevara.
Yeah. Oh, Sammy Guevara. I'm sorry. Like, they got him, like, the help he need. Like,
and he tried to kill Matt Hardy twice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's like an AEW. Like, this is from Warner Brothers. Like, this was their decision. The same people who decided Jay Briscoe can't be on their TV for something he did 10 years prior to that.
Yep.
Same people that had CM Punk on there. I'm guarantee you could dig up a lot of stuff on him.
Oh, that, God. The one where he calls the kid a faggot is on. You could Google that right now. CM Punk calls a fan a faggot. No, there's one where he calls him a... He goes...
Oh, young CM Punk. I'm WWE. He called the kid a homo. Yep. I guess it depends how much Tony Khan is willing to fight for his talent. Because you know he probably had to fight for CM Punk. Or who even knows if it came up, you know?
Hold on. I'm going to highlight this one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, half the AEW roster were thrown out that slur in promos of PWG at the time.
Oh my God, remember
when people want to get rid of Excalibur and just listen to his commentary.
Yeah, but they let him, they said it was okay because it was part of a story that he was dropping N bombs everywhere. Old sock face. Yep. It was part of a story that Brundle loves so much. His stories.
He does love those stories.
I don't like those stories.
I don't know about you guys, but my mother used to watch her stories when I was a kid. I never heard him dropping N bombs on, like, Young and the Restless.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's stupidity is what it is. It really is.
Yeah. I agree. Look, I mean,
they're just words. They're just words, and people's attitudes can change, you know.
People change. I found that fucking clip
of that stupid commercial you made of me.
Oh yeah, Matt's changed a lot in 15 years. Holy shit.
Goodness, I can't believe that.
Has he?
Yeah, oh yeah, no, he has. He has. 100%. If you really want to get in deep with us, February 1st, the next episode of Wizards History drops. we don't talk about that particular commercial, but we talk about a lot of things, and our relationship comes up a bit. So it's a very interesting listen.
That's just, I don't like, and look, this goes back to, like, there's certain things I agree with you about, HK, like when you, like, people change, like the Joey Ryan stuff, like that guy can fucking rot in hell because he's a sexual predator. I don't think he deserves a second chance. Something like this, like, come on, man.
It's words. It's not like the guy was fucking going out like, you know, trying to fucking hurt people and, you know. Then again, who knows what kind of I would love to see the context of this conversation with David Starr of all people. He's probably up on his fucking soapbox, fucking getting a case of water for people in the locker room. He's like, what are you, an F? You want to give the guys water? Are you trying to get us not booked everywhere? You know, it's probably some stupid like that.
Yeah, I guess I made homophobic comments in 2020 on Facebook while engaging with a fan and some anti-Semitic comments on Twitter in 2011.
2011? Hey, that was the year we started the podcast.
2019. Jesus, I'm sorry.
Oh,
okay. Matt was having flashbacks of his own conversation. you know what? Listen, here's some advice. It's been a while. Advice from your Uncle Tony. Just fucking don't post anything on Twitter, Facebook, like nothing. Just don't. If you see something that somebody wrote and you really like, I gotta write this guy back, even if you type it out, delete. Just fucking delete it. Let it get out of your system and just fucking let it hit a speed bump and disappear. That's it. Just let it go. It ain't worth it. For your shit to come back to haunt you like that, no, it's not worth it. It's not. Unless you genuinely don't give a shit, then have at it. God bless you. But just don't. Brando don't even put on his hood anymore.
Nope, burned it.
Right next to that cross, right?
I know what's going in your yard when I come out there.
Yeah, it's,
your tent.
His tent's already pitched during the show. Can we please do homework?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I just don't. That was an important. I wanted to get to that. So, Tony, you bestowed upon us. You took us back to May 3rd, 1993, New Japan Pro Wrestling for the Hulkster and Great Muta.
With Hulk Hogan leaving us last year, we needed to bring it back. We needed the world to know that the Hulkster was just not body slams and leg drops. And what better opponent to showcase what the Hulkster can do in terms of professional wrestling than the Great Muta? And this is New Japan. It's champion versus champion. No titles on the line. I did find a little odd that Muta, I didn't see him come out to his belt, but you know, with his belt, but Hulkster came out with the winged eagle strapped around his waist and good old Jimmy Hart not losing his megaphone yet at ringside. And I just love this match, dude. I wanted to bring this out there. I don't know if you guys have seen it or maybe it's been a while since you've seen it. Just the crowd being into everything that Muta did, that Hogan did. You didn't even know who the babyface or the heel was in this match. It was just such a great contest. I loved it too.
I was a huge fan of this. There's a couple Hogan Muta matches out there. This one is probably the best one, I think. First of all, it's trippy as hell to see the Hulkster with the belt in the New Japan ring. I felt like he worked heel, Tony.
A little bit, but the Hulkster, like, part of his repertoire, even in the States as a good guy, was heel stuff with the eye rakes, the back rakes. Sometimes he'd even get in the fucking the noogies and shit when the referee wasn't looking, the punches.
I mean, Muta was working heel too.
Yeah, Muta was definitely working
heel. Chair, the ring bell, hammer, all that stuff.
The mist.
The Hogan with the lockup and then the rolling arm bar.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Wild.
Yeah.
Even like from the start, it felt different with him just like bouncing around in the ring, like. It just, you know, it just felt like this isn't Hogan from the States. This is New Japan Hogan, which feels like fucking awesome.
And
you think,
and to go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, I know, like, the popular, you know, the opinion, I guess, is that Hogan can't like wrestle, right? He's got his moves, he's got what he does, it's what makes his money, and it's great. But like, it seems like watching him here, like, he's fully wrestling, right? You get a different kind of Hulkster in this match, and it's refreshing to see this version of Hulkster in this match. Do you think that he enjoys this? Like, he can go, hey, when I'm back in the States, I know exactly what I'm doing. It's the big boots, the leg drops, the body slam, post to close, making money, everything's happy. But when he's doing this stuff, do you think he's happy doing, like, it seems like there's just more gets brought out in him in this match. And it seems like he's enjoying the hell out of it.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it's just me, you know,
you could see it in his facial expressions. You could see in the way he like looks to the crowd and stuff. When he starts yelling Ichiban, like he's having a ball. He's having an absolute ball. And yet he comes across like he's taking this seriously.
Yeah. I think he has a respect for Inoki and what Inoki did for his career and the Jap. To your point, HK, like, here in the States, it's, as Bruce Pritchard says, you know, Hogan must pose, right? Come back, big boot, leg drop, the whole nine, right? It's a different style over there. It's a different fan base, right? He's going in, as popular as he is, he's still the Gaijin, right? He's still going to wrestle the Great Muta, right? But, yeah, he looked like he was, like, having fun. Right, and it wasn't the same. He wasn't battling the big monster, the Kamala, the Yokozuna, you know, whatever. He was in there with fucking Great Muta, and it looked like he enjoyed himself. Like, I really, really enjoyed this a lot. There was a lot to love about this match, although I'm sure it was like, no mist in the face, brother.
Yeah, all over his chest, spray me in the chest. Oh, yeah, spray me in the chest. I got to ask, the one thing that threw me off, and maybe I just missed it somewhere along the way, why was there like a fucking helicopter rope fucking ladder he's swinging from? Where did the shit that come from?
Probably that's setting up the lights, probably the rigging and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out of nowhere. Fucking Mood is on this goddamn ladder. I'm like, you got a rope swing out there in front of us? I don't know what the fuck's happening.
I right wish now. They had such a better view for that, too, because you kind of missed it. It like goes into the crowd a little bit. Yeah. That was a fucking great spot.
And you get a feel for how long that ramp really is when Muta fucking starts running down the ramp and then comes back. And I always liked the way the Hulkster took his bumps out of the ring, because he always fell backward between the second and third ropes and tumbled out. It always looked so good that a man his size would just kind of get janked out of the ring that way, instead of trying to throw himself over the top or trying to just like stumble, whatever. Like, that fall through the ropes was perfect every time he did it. It always looked like somebody really got a, like, did a number on him to get him to fucking fall out of the ring like that. I love that. I love that bump.
Why the finish? Why the leg drop and then the fucking, like,
well, the Axe Bomber was his that was his Japanese.
Yeah, it was his finish in Japan.
Oh shit, yeah.
Axe Bomber!
Completely forgot.
That's what he knocked out Inoki with.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people don't realize, before he was WWF champion Hulk Hogan, he was the Grand Prix winner the first year they ran the tournament in 1983, before the IWGP championship became a regularly defended title. That was their championship. And he won it by knocking out Antonio Inoki. Like, that solidifies him as a fucking huge star in Japan right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a nice little, like, crescendo, like the build-up. Like, they started slow. Muta, Hogan used a couple wrestling moves on him. Then Muta, like, he slid out. He laid on the fucking ramp. The way he came back in the ring, like, just, like, the simple flip over the ropes and the fucking crowd went nuts, like, goofy shit. Muta taking a powder and he crawls under the ring to the other side of the ring.
It did seem a little rushed at the end, though. It seemed like they were just kind of like, let's get it over. Like,
because I think, like, you hit that point, like, where you have them, right? Now we're going to do the moonsault. We're going to do the mist. We're going to do the leg drop, the big boot, the Axe Bomber. Like, you have them. Like, it's 93, right? Like, it's not a 100 hot moves to start the match. Like, they build to it, and I think the crowd was into it. I was into it.
Yeah.
And this was great. This was the match that gave us the trinket promo, the ornament promo, the toy. Well, because after this match, Hogan's sitting in the back and he's like, this is the WWF Championship. This means nothing. This is a trinket. What I want is I want the belt that Muda has. I want the IWGP Championship. Now, this was also at a point in time where there wasn't really much crossover between Japan and the United States. There was no internet. There was really no, like, I mean, the magazines maybe, but not really. So there was a bit more of like kayfabe. And by the way, this was after Hogan wins at WrestleMania 9 as well. So,
yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Hogan and the WWE Championship, they're not long for this world. It would take another 9 years before he wins that championship back. But, you know.
Beefcake was also on this card, and he beat Masa Saito in 8 minutes.
Oh, and Sting was on the card too, wasn't he?
Yeah, him and Scott Norton went to a no contest.
See, we had a crossover here. This is a crossover that means something. There's WWF, WCW, New Japan all in the same show.
Yeah, Hogan, just like there was Limitless Pro had AEW and WWE and Limitless all on one, in one show.
So yeah. Limitless equals New Japan now. Gotcha.
Yeah, not too far off.
Yeah. And MLW.
Oh shit, oh, yeah. That's right. Well, yeah.
Right. MLW is doing like a big super show coming up, right? And MLW, CMLL, and New Japan.
Nice.
Does New Japan just work with any promotion it can in the US?
More or less.
Yeah. Fucking wrestling slut.
It really is.
Yeah,
you might see Yoda Tsuji at Limitless next month.
He'll be in New Jersey next month. In Trenton. I was curious because I saw Jimmy Hart was wearing the Mega Maniacs jacket. So I was like, wait, was Beefer on this show too? And sure as shit, he was.
Beefer. Was he wearing the mask?
I didn't see the match, so I'd have to go back and look. I didn't have...
That would be kind of funny.
I usually wait to the last minute to do my homework so I remember it.
So thumbs up all around?
I loved it. Thumbs up, man.
Absolutely.
Double T, I guess you're up.
I am up, and I'm going to stay in the land of the rising sun. I brought her up, if not last week, 2 weeks ago. I've been on a major Aja Khan kick.
Oh, no.
And I found a match from 1994, Aja Khan against Yumiko Hoda. I believe it has subtitles, too, so if you want to understand what's going on.
HK,
it is on.
Now I just gotta figure out how to read.
It's on YouTube. I will link it in the description to the show, and I will send you guys the match itself. It comes up as 28 minutes, but there's a lot of post-match and pre-match gaga that you don't necessarily need to watch. So it's probably a 20-minute match, give or take.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any plugs? Anything else we got to bring up? Whatever.
I don't think so. I think we hit everything.
I'd say so.
And with that, we cue the music.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank those who support us over on Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, executive producer Manny Crozzo, producers Keith Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Jersey Cow Jesse, Emily Brock, I Dunk Biscuits, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, and David Henry Bauer III. Thank you all.
Night Diana.
Nice, real nice.
That's my mother.
What's going on?
Just wiggling my nuts.
Just wiggling your. We got a guest next week.
Oh, who do we have?
Jay the Key Evans.
One half the shot callers, ISPW.
Nice.
Real nice.
No, I'm all down for ISPW. I heard the AEW championship is being defended there in Total next month.
Where did Kevin go? I don't see him.
Kevin, where are you, buddy?
Oh, here I am.
Kevin. Not me.
What? Kevin, take care of them, Kevin.
Kevin!
No problem, Diana.
Kevin!
No! Some girl talking and talking.
Can you please play the blubber one real quick?
Yes, give me a second. Fine, there's so many.
It's the one that says blubber. B L U.
I got it, jerk off.
What am I going to watch? Them with their blubber and their whatever they got here? Oh no!
That's my mother. Holy shit!
We gotta get Diana back.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Oh, you want to see me by myself?
Show us the goods, Ma. It's been a while.
Any comments? I'm in the show. Listen, I ain't showing you nothing because I got in trouble.
Can you please play the Edibles one too? I think that'd be a good one.
Nobody ever came.
Nobody ever comes on this show, Ma.
Oh no.
I know, it's sad, right? Huh? Four strapping old men. Not a pile of jizz between us.
I don't remember how old he was.
Just a sad cracker with no saltine on it.
I got a good shape. I'm in good shape.
That got Prondo so good.
What did you ask me to play?
Oh, the Edibles one.
Where the fuck is? Oh, there.
E D I.
Yeah. He always sends me the what do you call Edibles? Let's do